Blog Talk Radio.
$200,000. Everybody said, okay, that's better. I'd like to retire with $200,000 someday. San Quentin, not San Clemente. Do not pass go. Go directly to jail. Do not collect $200,000. We beg your pardon, America. We beg your pardon because somehow the pardon did not sit correctly. What were the causes for this pardon? Well, now they had flea bite us. Rats bite us, no pardon in the ghetto. They had national security. But do you feel secure with a man who tries to steal America? Back on the streets again. What are the results of this pardon, though? Because remember, when there's causes, there's results. And the result is always deeper still. We now have oatmeal man. Anytime you find someone in the middle, anytime you find someone who is tepid, anytime you find someone who is lukewarm, anytime you find someone who has been in Congress for 25 years and no one ever heard of him, you got oatmeal man. Oatmeal man straddling uncomfortably yards and feet of barbed wire. It's hard to live in the middle all the time. Oatmeal man. The man who said you could fit all of his black friends in the trunk of his car and still have room for the Republican elephant. Oatmeal man. But there was no crime committed. Oatmeal man says that America, in 1975, your president will be a 1913 Ford. Regressive. Circle up the wagons to defend yourself from nuclear attack. Oatmeal man. Reminiscent of 1964's AUH2O Goldwater. Thank God he didn't win. But Oatmeal Man didn't win. Did you vote for him? I didn't vote for him. But that's the first result. And the second would be the Dread Rockefeller. Doubtlessly being promoted for the job he did at Attica. 43 dead and millions of Americans once again in shock. Doubtlessly being promoted for the job he did on the streets of New York City, where the pushers sell the drugs that the government allows in the country, and then they do time. They do life and death, or life and death behind bars, while William Saxby says he's going to dismiss the Lloyd and Furlough program. And Brother Richard X of Buffalo, New York, faces 1,365, did he say, 1,365 years behind bars for participating in Attica. And Rockefeller faces being the vice president of this country, and all is calm and quiet along the white sands at San Clemente. We beg your pardon, America. We beg your pardon once again. Because we found out that 7 out of every 10 black men behind jail, and most of the men behind jail, are black. 7 out of every 10 black men never went to the ninth grade. Didn't have $50 and hadn't had $100 for a month when they went to jail. So the poor and the ignorant go to jail while the rich go to San Clemente. We beg your pardon, America, because we understand now much more deeply than we understood before. But we don't want to take the pardon back. We want to issue some more. Pardon Brother Frank Willis, the Watergate security guard. He was only doing his job. Pardon H. Rap Brown. It was only burglary. Pardon Robert Vesco, it was only embezzlement. Pardon Charles Manson, it was only mass murder. And pardon us while we get sick. Because they pardoned William Calley, 22 dead, and America in shock. And we understand all the more deeply, and we beg your pardon, as unemployment spirals towards 7%, and it seems like 70% in my neighborhood. As unemployment spirals, and as we watch cattlemen on TV shoot cows in the head and kick them in the grave while millions are starving in the Sahel, in the Honduras, and maybe even next door. We understand all the more deeply as Boston becomes Birmingham, becomes Little Rock, becomes Selma, becomes Philadelphia, Mississippi, becomes yesterday all over again. We understand and we beg your pardon. We beg your pardon, America, because we have an understanding of karma. What goes around comes around. And we beg your pardon for all of the lives and all of the people that are going and who look forward to next year because they cannot stand to look at this one. We beg your pardon, America, because the pardon you gave this time was not yours to give. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. inspection team in Damascus's Four Seasons Hotel, Syria's foreign minister has hit out at those who accuse his government of gassing its own people. The most dangerous thing is that the United States, Britain and France encourage these terrorists to use chemical weapons. These countries defend them, and this has to stop. This means that these terrorists will soon use chemical weapons against Americans and Europeans. The foreign minister added that he had proof that the rebels had used chemical weapons and that it would be sent to the United Nations in New York.
Well, that was a news clip. Didn't work out too good. But anyway, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Ron Rex Show live on Blog Talk Radio. I hope everybody's doing good tonight. I'm feeling pretty well. But yeah, man. The old clock's ticking on this gig coming up on us here in Syria. You know, what are they going to do? Well, I mean, why do they have to do this? Just like that clip you just heard, they're blaming us for it. And, you know, it's hard to say. I really believe what he said. That's all I can say. It sounds about right. But yeah, anyway, I don't know if my co-host is ready. She's had to drink about 20 gallons of coffee, but I'm going to go ahead and let her know that she's definitely in here with me. But yeah, that old caffeine's good for you. I knew I could get attention with that. Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Boy, so they're blaming the United States, huh?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And I can play it again if you want to hear it again. That's what the man said. He's saying his country did not do nothing. It had nothing to do with that shit, period. And, yep, and then he's blaming us. Well, okay. I don't doubt it.
You don't doubt it? Well,
mm-mm.
From what we heard last night, that all wars are bankers' wars.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, is the United States the bank? We're not the world bank.
No, we're not the bank. We're controlled by the banks.
Yeah.
We're controlled by a private corporation called the bank. That's the word name they go by. I need to really pick that definition up, what that word really means. You know,
yeah,
bank.
I think that we need to blame the people that is playing the chess game. We're just
mm-hmm.
the pawns on the board.
Yeah, why are they doing it? What good does it do us? Nothing. It has nothing to do,
well,
you know.
Karen, who's sent out a thing today that, you know, we're running out of time, and it has to do with the oil and mm-hmm. everything with Syria. And I gave you the link for it. It's 23 minutes. You may want to play that. It was, you know, really good. And for the guest that's in here, she is a World Bank whistleblower. She worked for the World Bank for 21 years.
You put that link in the chat room, didn't you? I don't see it.
Yes, I did.
I don't see it.
Okay, I'll do it again for you.
You know, so I'm two times. I'm a two-timing man.
Well, that's the same.
It was here and I lost it. I don't know why.
I have to have a talk with your wife for a thing.
I'm telling you, I scrolled the chat room. It's just not there. All right, Bible Truth Benny's in the house. What's up, Benny?
Hello, brother. Benny.
What's happening?
Give me one more second. And I will get it for you. It's only 23
right.
minutes.
You know what? It was 93 degrees today here in the Midwest, but damn, it was hot.
It was rainy here.
Well, send it to me. Send it to me. Send it to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Tired of watering this garden.
There you go.
All right. Let's play
this
game.
There you go.
We could do this. But I got to ask you permission first before I do it.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got your permission, Ann.
Yeah,
all right, baby, I'm
going to
put you on mute again. Well, I'll meet you again. I'll put this clip on, all right?
Okay.
Maybe. I'm going to try. Hold on. I just have a hard time muting you. I don't mute you. I just don't do that. But anyway, let's listen to this clip.
Right. Right.
Hello, I'm Greg Hunter. Welcome to USAWatchdog.com. With us today, a brand new guest. Her name is Karen Hudis. She is an attorney, she is a banker, and she is a whistleblower. Karen Hudis, thank you so much for joining us today from Maryland. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I couldn't be happier than to be here on your show.
Well, you worked for the World Bank for a better part of 20 years. You are an Ivy League trained attorney. You are with the Ivy League school. I mean, you went to Yale. You worked for the World Bank as a lawyer. You're a banker, and you were a whistleblower inside the World Bank, not just one time, but several times. At crescendo, a big, almost $1 billion, whistleblowing fraud, malfeasance in the World Bank in Indonesia. And for that, you got a pink slip in 2009. Congratulations, my dear.
Thank you.
You were one of the good people. Listen, I called you the other day on the pre-interview, and I said, Karen Hudis, yes, and I said, boy, I want to interview you about, I had you all set up, I want to just do a little pre-interview about banking, and I said, boy, things are a mess, huh? Oh, no, things aren't a mess, and we can fix this. And I was like, wow, this is refreshing. And you said, everybody knows what's going on. Everybody in the world knows what's going on with America. We know who the thugs and the criminals are. And you made a reference to a baby. Tell me how the rest of the world is looking at our Federal Reserve and our banking system and how the U.S. is acting in the global world of finance.
Well, their game is up. When they were signed on 100 years ago, President Wilson knew that he had sold the United States downstream. And he really regretted it. And there were a couple of presidents who tried to set things straight. And both of those ended up assassinated. One of them was JFK. One of them was Abraham Lincoln. And our current president, Barack Obama, is trying very hard to do what he can to do to make it possible for those of us in the know to fire these thugs. He doesn't want to get himself shot. He's leaving it up to us. And we're doing a good job. I've been in touch with all 50 governors. There's a special governor's council, which has one of the co-chairs is my governor, Martin O'Malley. And I've been writing to these guys, and I've been saying, okay, we are not going to let our country get sold downstream. You are going to do your job. And, it's not an easy thing to do. It's pretty dangerous. People have gotten into a lot of hot water for standing up to these thugs and crooks. And by the way, you don't have to take my word for it. There's a very accurate study that was done by the Federal Institute of Technology. They used data showing who owns all of the world's corporations, 43,000 of them. And they showed that there is a group of thugs that have bought these companies up and controlled them behind the scenes. A lot of this is secret. You won't read about it in the press because they bought up the media. So the stories that people are hearing every day from their favorite newscast, this is all, what those companies want you to know, not what the reality is. And a lot of people are onto this. I think the latest survey about the trust of the American people in their media, it's tanked. It's, most people, more than a majority, knows that they're being systematically lied to by these thugs. So anyway, getting back to the Federal Reserve and the Bank for International Settlements, these groups are in cahoots with the biggest crooks of all, the Jesuits that bought up Bank of America, and they have little secret deal to try to possession the riches of the world, and in the meantime, all of the countries of the world know that this thievery is going on, and we have been working together. I've been writing all of the ambassadors for the last 5 years since I was fired illegally. They knew I was their lawyer. They knew I was telling them the truth. And I said, you're not going to get away with this. And there's a group of World Bank whistleblowers from different countries, and one of them in particular, Elaine Colville, who's Scottish. The two of us have been writing to the UK Parliament, and the UK Parliament on the 20th of July just published our statements. My statement was, okay, guys, we're running out of time. It's time to get serious and tell these thugs and crooks that they're fired. And Elaine Colville said, the UK Parliament better do its job. And that's up there for everybody to read.
Well, you're talking about being fired. You were telling me in the interview yesterday, and I want to work on this, and it's a theme that a lot of people have brought up on my side, a lot of very smart people, and you're kind of backing them up, and you're saying the rest of the world doesn't want to live under this yoke of the Federal Reserve, the Treasury system. They want to get rid of the dollar. They want to do away with the dollar. There's inflation, and what a lot of people are talking about is, you know, this uprising in Egypt is fueled in part with all this inflation, and we are exporting inflation around the world, and governments are saying, hey, hold on with the dollars. We don't know if we need any more of these dollars. We want to use a different currency, a gold-backed currency, a Bitcoin. Hungary has got rid of the euro, supposedly, and they're issuing their own currency so they can get away from the inflation. Is that what you're seeing, a move away from the dollar on a grand scale?
Okay, what I'm saying is that we don't have to wait for anybody to fire the Fed or the Bank for International Settlement, because all the central bankers are part of this big club in Switzerland. What we should simply do is use our choice. The states, some of them, have already started recognizing silver and gold, the precious metals, as currency. They're entitled to do this. They should do this. There are other alternatives like Bitcoin, and there are other bankers that have set up currencies that are backed fully by precious metal, and we, the consumers, can choose which currencies to use that are legal. And that's what we're going to do in very short order. Because I can tell you, and you didn't follow up on one of the things I just said, so I'll say it again. We are talking about the biggest thuggery of all, and that is the Jesuits in the Vatican. And one of the things I have just found out...
Well, the new Pope is a Jesuit, right?
That's right. And
there have been reports of... And there have been reports, published reports, of the allegations of the Vatican laundering money on a grand scale. I haven't heard too much about that recently, but that's I think that was before their most recent Pope got put in there. But yes, I mean, they have some sin there, don't they?
Greg, I'm going to tell you something which I just found out about, because let me step back a little bit and say how I got involved in all of this. They say follow the money. That's what I did. I saw that people were being lied to about the money, and you're not allowed to do that. When bonds are issued on the capital markets, and I bought a World Bank bond, you're entitled to accurate financial statements, and they were not being audited according to the auditing standards. So I sued the World Bank, and I sued KPMG, and then 188 ministers of finance settled my lawsuit. But I couldn't get that thing implemented. So I was trying to find out why not. And let me tell you what I just found out. I always thought that the CIA was the problem and the other intelligence agencies. Guess what? There's a grand intelligence agency that the Vatican puts out, and all of those other crooks are operating under the Vatican Intelligence Agency.
The money is about the control. And the Vatican Intelligence Agency, the World Intelligence Agency, they're talking about we're fighting over money, over what money we're going to use.
No, that's the thing I'm saying, Greg. They're not fighting. They've all agreed. The fighting is what we're led to believe. They're all in cahoots, just like all the banks are in cahoots. All of these intelligence agencies are in cahoots, too. So we are completely being bamboozled. It's like a big theater of the absurd for the world. And in the meantime, every single citizen is getting ripped off big time. It's all an agreed, for example, what's going on in Syria? I'll tell you what's going on in Syria. And this is because I'm not working just by myself. I'm working with a lot of whistleblowers, and there's one whistleblower in particular.
And just so you know, you're in contact with World Bank members also around the globe.
Yes, yes. There's one of us from India. There's one of us from Ethiopia. I forgot the last time I made mentioned the list. I forgot one of the best, most intelligent of us is from South Korea, and we are all working together, just like these subs are working together. But I was going to mention about what Mark told me about Syria. What's really going on is that there's natural gas, but you have to have a pipeline to get it to the market. So Qatar, which has all this natural gas, wanted to run a pipeline through Syria, and then they were going to reach the European market. Well, who's supplying the European market with gas?
The Russians.
The Russians. Okay. Saudi Arabia went to the Russians and said, if you stop protecting Syria, then we're going to sell you arms for cheap. And Russia said, no, I want my market for natural gas in Europe. So all this business about dead babies and sarin gas, that is just all to keep us confused. Everything that's going on in the news is simply to keep us confused. You don't need to be confused. What we need to do is we need to turn around to these crooks with the crooks at the very top, and we need to say, no.
Well,
you're not going to rip us off anymore.
Well, I know you speak fondly of the president, and he is my president, and I have respect for the office, but he has signed into law the NDAA, where you can, you know, drag somebody off and hold them intentionally, you know, any quote-unquote terrorist. He has made all these drone strikes. I mean, his Justice Department just put Jesse Jackson Jr. in jail, and not a single one of these bankers has been tried, including people who have done money laundering for drug cartels and for people on the terror watch list. You know, we have Jesse Jackson Jr. in jail for 30 months for $750,000, and John Corzine allegedly stole $1 billion. So,
he's an actor. He's told to play his part.
Well, that's bad.
It is bad. But everybody is an actor.
Let me back up here. You're telling me the president is just an actor, just somebody to play a role, and don't get in our way. You're really not the president. We say you are, but you're not.
What I'm trying to say is that those presidents of ours who refused to go along with the crook's agenda got murdered, all of them. And so there's a little bit of leeway, and they're doing what they can. And don't forget, we have to play our part, which is we have to admit that we have been bamboozled, and we're not going to be bamboozled anymore, and we will then take back what's ours. We won't let the crooks continue to rob us.
But this is going to be a painful process. I mean, they're going to come out and say, oh, you want your accounts insured? Well, you have to take a bail-in. Do you want your – I mean, this is what they're going to say. This is what they said over in Cyprus, which a lot of people say the IMF was involved, the ECB was involved, that this was a test market, Cyprus. And, oh, you want your insured deposits? Well, you have to agree to bail-ins. You have to agree to haircuts. You have to agree to all this stuff. And
that is only, Greg, if we stay stuck at one level of the theater. We don't have to stay stuck at that level. We can go up to the different level, which is what I'm telling you. Not just the central bankers, but the Vatican. For example, people don't know that their IRS revenue is going to the Vatican. They don't know that the municipalities are pre-funding their pensions for billions of dollars when it's unnecessary. We have got to sit down and look at, we've got to follow the money and figure out where it's going and say, okay, that's our money, that's not your money, and we have to take it back. That's all.
Isn't this going to be painful? Aren't there going to be defaults? Aren't there going to be, I mean, a guy rates me, I've said this a couple times in interviews, from Detroit, 29 years with a firefighter or police officer. His funding for his pension is $9 billion in red ink, and they're going to get pennies on the dollar. And, you know, I hear that, you know, bankers are going to get 75 cents on the dollar, but pensioners are going to get 20, 10, 15 cents on the dollar. I mean, there are $3.7 trillion underfunded pensions. We have $10.8 trillion on deposit. We have $33 billion in insurance. I mean, there's going to be a bunch of defaults, isn't there? I mean, isn't it going to be painful to take it back?
At the wrong level of the play. You are looking at paper currency. There was an agreement starting in the early 1900s to take all of the wealth of the world, the treasures, the gold, the diamonds, priceless treasures, These are now in a big vault in different places, buried. And this all can come out. But it's not going to come out until people start recognizing this reality. We have all got to look beyond. We have to pierce the corporate veil. That's the statement in law. When you look behind who owns the corporations, we have to pierce the corporate veil. We have to, all of us, do our homework. We can't say, oh, money is too complicated. Central banks are too complicated. We have all got to sit down and come to the table and see what's the real story. And we have to be responsible about it. And then we'll agree that we played a part, too. We were bamboozled. We allowed these bankers to buy up media and tell us lies and accept the lies, one story after another. Are we going to look at the fake reels about dead women and children from chemical warfare? Chances are those were actors.
You know, I got to tell you, I would think you were absolutely crazy if I didn't know and I went online and saw your resume and saw your deep resume and saw you worked for the Federal Bank for 20 years and know you're an attorney or you are the senior counsel for the World Bank. And this is just eye-opening to hear you talk like this. I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying people should realize that you're not a kook. You were 20 years with the World Bank as their senior counsel. You are connected to world bankers globally and other whistleblowers, and you're saying that we've been robbed, and
okay,
we're being robbed.
Let's go back 15 years, okay? And let me just say that everything that I'm saying, you can go on my website, www.kaqdis.net, and you can go through the chronology, which is what happened in 2000 when I got involved in reform inside the World Bank, where the people who own the World Bank, it's like a big cooperative. The U.S. owns 16%, and the rest of the countries, 188 of them, own different amounts. And you get to vote in accordance with how powerful you are. Okay, so I was part of the board decision that they were going to allow the World Bank to have more money, but only if they improved the human resources. And I was on that committee, and the agreement was that those managers that were doing a good job would get promoted, and those managers that were doing a bad job would either get training or they would get fired. And that reform got completely rolled back. We brought in somebody from IBM to do this, and he came to me and said, Karen, I don't understand it. I say a manager's good and needs to be promoted, and that one gets fired. I say somebody is crooked, and that one gets promoted. What's going on here? He says, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to last. Alberto Bazan, he got fired. And after that, I just tried to find out what was going on. And you can watch and see exactly what was going on. Until I got involved in the Philippines, where the man who was the president of the Philippines, Joseph Estrada, was robbing the country blind. And what he did was he sold the second largest bank, Philippine National Bank, to a borrower who owned Philippine Airlines, Lucio Tan. His airline was in default to Philippine National Bank. And so I said, you know, you can't disperse the rest of the loan when this crook has gotten all those employee shares.
That was nearly $1 billion. That was near, just so everybody knows, that's nearly $1 billion in Malfeasance.
Well, what happened was we canceled our loan for $200 million. The Japanese canceled their loan for $200 million. And the Philippines, who had their people who had their money on deposit in the bank, withdrew it, and the Philippine Deposit Insurance Corporation had to bail out the bank for $500 million. And then the World Bank, at the end of that project, had to write a summary about how the project had gone. And they said, well, it wasn't a success, obviously, but we couldn't have known. I said, of course you could have known. I told you. And that's when they tried to fire me. And so
they did fire you.
No, not at that point.
No, in 2009.
That was 2003.
Ultimately, they did.
But here's the beautiful part about it. The World Bank is many, many things. It's also a knowledge bank. And there was a political scientist, Jacek Kugler, who came to the World Bank. He had actually been involved in the defense intelligence industry first. And he developed a very accurate model, which, you know, it's garbage in, garbage out. But I modeled rule of law at the World Bank. I didn't realize that the World Bank was a microcosm of the world. But I did know that if the U.S. didn't start playing by the rules, that we were going to lose the ability to handpick the president of the World Bank.
Lose our leadership.
And that's
what happened. The rest of the world's going to go, they're crooks. No, thank you.
So first I went to the Treasury Department, and I said, we've got to start playing by the rules. And they ignored me. So then I went to the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, which at that point was chaired by Joe Biden. It had Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama as junior members. But it was Senator Lugar who wrote three letters to the World Bank saying, don't fire this lady. And they fired me anyway. But in the meantime, I had showed the board that I was working on rule of law. And so I had a lot of people backing me in the beginning. You should see how many people are backing me now. I had the whole world backing me. And it sounds like I'm being grandiose. But I'm not being grandiose. I'm just giving people a play-by-play book. And so this last bit that I'm telling you about, I didn't know any of this when I first started out. All I knew was that we were not playing by the rules. And then I had this very fancy stakeholder analysis. And this stakeholder analysis is showing me not only rule of law inside the World Bank, but the World Bank is a microcosm for the world. So I'm now dealing with rule of law. I'm dealing with justice in the world. Do you think people who see that I'm for real are going to help me? You better believe they're going to help me. I have gotten the most incredible help. It's just spectacularly beautiful to see.
Well, down here on the ground level, could we have bail-ins? Could people have your money taken from them? I mean, these guys are not going to give up. I mean, they're going to hang on to power.
No, of course not.
Could we have war in Syria? I mean, if the president
we could certainly have war. We can have war. We can wipe out the whole human race. There's no question about it. We have the capabilities to do that. But if we decide to all work together and all follow the money and all listen and all do our homework, what's going to happen is this gold that's buried in this vault is going to come out and pay off all these debt, and we are going to, each of us, have more money than we know what to do with. Each person on this planet. I'm telling you, that's what the actual facts are. And I can show you.
There's plenty of money out there. So the guy with a pension up in Detroit, who's going to get 10 cents on the dollar, that doesn't have to happen. The student loans for $1 trillion doesn't have to happen. Our national debt for $17 trillion doesn't have to happen. Karen, that's a lot of dough. It's a lot of money.
Fighting about is not money. What we're fighting about two things. We're fighting about control, but the better way to describe it is we're fighting about love. We're fighting about whether we love our fellow man and whether we have self-respect. That's the real issue that we're dealing with here. And if you then think about the people that we are entrusting to be our spiritual leaders, who are actually doing the opposite. They're heading all of the spy agencies of the world and bamboozling all of us. We have got to sit down and sort things out.
Could there be, I mean, I'm going to get down to granular level, down to the street level, down to the individual level. Could there be bail-ins? Could people lose their insured deposits? Could people lose money? Could the stock market crash?
No. That's not what we're dealing with.
What?
No. That's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with whether we continue with humanity and have an earth or whether we blow ourselves up. That's what we're dealing with. That's the issue. Whether we love ourselves and each other enough to save the world or whether we're all going to go to hell in a handbasket. That's what this is about.
Karen Hudis, you have enlightened me, my dear. You can find out more at K-A-Hudis at H-U-D-E-S-K-A, Karen, K-A, Hudis, H-U-D-E-S.net. Thank you very much for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com. I hope you come.
Okay. Yeah. Hope you all like that clip, because that's pretty just part of it, I say. There's a lot more involved with this bank deals, these wars and shit. They just want that control and they're losing it. She could be right. They are losing control. That's why we're going to bullshit in Syria. I think. That's my opinion. Everybody has one. But it is. It's a criminal cartel. It's insane. It's in our lives every day. The Constitution states that you don't have to pay income tax off the labors of your back. But everybody does it. Everybody pays it. And there's not even a law to enforce it. It has nothing to back up that scam. But people still continuously pay a high-rated income tax. Then you got to pay tax on everything you buy. You know, I was a business owner. I had a retail business. And every time somebody bought something and I had to charge them tax on it, I felt like I was stealing from them. I felt like a criminal for somebody else. I was doing the dirty work for somebody else. That's what I'm thinking. You know, that's what I was doing. I mean, everything you do, everything, anytime you, money moves, they got to get a cut out of it, regardless. I mean, coming to you, they got a cut going, I'm either getting a cut, it's all coming from you. That's what, yeah, that's what's going on, man. So, you know, wow, that's just straight up crazy. But, yeah, man, I guess if I get my co-host back on here before she starts wanting to kick my ass, so I will do that, and also see somebody else in here, too. Few other folks. How's it going? You there, Antoinette? Because
yes, and I was ready to kick your derriere.
Yeah, but I had to play it all with you. I could. I was in. You know, I'm sorry. I got into because I want to hear the end of the fact. You know, I want to hear where she's coming up with this. You know, the part of the Vatican. You know.
Okay. Well, we know where everything goes through the Vatican.
Right, and but you know.
Well.
There,
hello,
okay.
Cuz.
Hey.
Hello, cuz. We also have Michael Hood that wants to give us an update.
Okay.
And I have an update that I want to give, but I will wait until everyone else gives their updates. So,
I told you, let's just open up the phone lines.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You know,
that's
we had this threat where they said yesterday or Monday that it could be any day this week.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, for everyone that was here yesterday and you heard the clip that all wars are bankers' wars.
Absolutely.
And you just listened to Karen Hoods, who talked about how, you know, this was planned. You know, it has to do with the oil. It was a plan made with Russia and, you know, things like that. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a question to me of if we're going to war. It's when we're going.
Very soon,
Antoinette,
I got to throw this out to you real quick. Hello, my fellow Americans. Everybody's on the line because all the phones are open. So, my fellow Americans.
There is no America anymore. It's the United States of America.
That's the corporate
the
name
corporation.
That runs it. That's the management company that runs this country. It's their management company. They need to be fired. They need to go to jail for fraud against the Constitution. I mean, you know, like I said the other day, I went to the courthouse and, you know, I put my stuff in the bucket to go through the scanner bullshit. And I said, I don't consent. You know, what you don't consent to? You didn't even ask me the question, what I don't consent to. Because I'm doing it. I'm doing what they want, they require me to do, right? And I just said, I don't consent. So anyway, I went through it. I said, I still don't consent. Here's where you're going with this. I said, well, I told you I don't consent, but you made me do it anyway. You know, I didn't do that at free will. You, more or less, I couldn't go no further at this point without doing that. That is the rule. That you believe in your mind is right. That's what they want. But really, I have nothing, no weapon on me, so I should not have been searched. You know what I mean?
Well, how could they know if you had a weapon unless they searched you?
Are
you
got to
give them their thrills. They just want their thrills.
Well, okay, well...
Just be a good little student and just do what you're told and abide by the rules and let them fill you up. That's all.
Okay. All right. Okay. You're a police officer. You're at the guarding the gate. The holy gate to the holy Avery Mountain College courthouse. All right. With a big work in the dresses. You know, like the Pope wears a dress. They wear a dress. So anybody that's going to rip you off wearing a dress, give the money up to them because they're going to get it anyway. So now. The only thing that came out of my pocket, which kind of stunned the cop, was a little card. This little card. No ink pen, no change, no wallet, no car keys, none of that. All right? Just a card.
Oh, don't tell me your ACLU card.
ACLU card, yes. Yep. And
well, I know they were happy to see that.
Well, then, but this one was, look, you know, Ron's got an ACLU card. I said, you're fucking right, I do. And I stand by it. You know, so you want to talk shit to me, let's rock. I ain't scared of them. I've been through this shit too much in my life. I just don't fear them. I don't no more. Because I know what they are. I know what they're doing. It's a business for profit. That's all it is. It's a business for profit. If there's no victim, there's no statement. You know, if there is a victim, they withdraw the statement. There is no victim. Then all of a sudden, the state becomes a victim. How the fuck the state a victim? Show me the damage. Show me the fucking damage that I did to you, the state. You know, and I'm telling you, if I ever have a charge against me again and I have to go in front of a judge, I'm going to say, I need the people of the state of Missouri, every one of them, to fucking show up here because they're the ones filing the complaint. I don't want to represent them. You ain't representing shit. You're telling me the people of the state of Missouri. Bring them the fuck on. I want everyone to tell them something I did to them. I'm going to call them my peers. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, let's bring in some callers and hear what they have to say.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done screaming.
Okay, Dr. Frankenstein.
But yeah, man, all the phone lines are open. Everybody's free to speak. As long as you got your papers. You have to show your papers in order to speak.
Okay, well, who do we have on the line?
People on telephones or they're on Skype.
Okay. So one-on-ones.
Yep.
Okay. Hi, Cynthia's on the line. I don't know how my number showed up to you guys.
Hello, Cynthia.
I just wanted to make sure you guys knew that I was here, but my phone is on mute.
Oh, okay. Well, do you have something that you want to say, Cynthia, or you want to listen for a while?
I do want to say something.
Okay.
Sure. Ron?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to frisk you. Just joking.
Okay. Then I should say something like, I don't consent. And then you go ahead and do it. And then I turn around and put the handcuffs on you for violation of the Fourth Amendment right, illegal search and seizure. See, you know, like I said, you know.
He's saying that because his wife is around. He's just being mysterious.
I'm just joking.
I know. That's cool. Yeah. Yes, officer. Okay. Anything you say, officer. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, officer, hold on. You touch me like you know me. They like that with you. I like doing that shit.
Yes.
Touch me.
I do want to say something else because I was at the library earlier, and one of these little kids, they were looking up Jay-Z's new record or whatever, or I don't know if they even call them records, a CD, and the Holy Grail, the title of it, is like part of that Illuminati, all that other stuff, which I didn't really know until I looked into it with them. So I thought that was quite interesting.
Wow, yeah. Anything to sell.
Yeah.
The delusional self. So is the Pope the head of Illuminati?
Yeah, well, it's just, I don't mean to be rude, but we have another caller online, and if I don't get my cousin, he's gonna strangle me tomorrow.
Okay, no problem.
All right, I'm going to mute.
But you're welcome to come back, okay?
I mean, don't go anywhere. When cousin takes you out, can you get my
Yeah, okay, we want to get to this serious situation. Go ahead.
Seriously, when you get cut, when Cuz chokes you out, can I get it on film?
No.
I want play by play. And I say clearly, Your Honor, you see, she started it. Cuz had to do it. No, go ahead.
Oh, shoot.
Go ahead, Cuz. Have you listened to the show?
Cuz? Oh, now he's quiet.
I'm listening. I'll chime in when I'm ready. How you doing, Ron?
I'm doing good, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm just studying some information about the Syria situation. That's really serious.
The ticking time bomb. We're waiting to go, I think, soon.
Anytime. Anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime, my friend.
I didn't really look real deep into this. I don't know who we got to loan us the money to go to work, so we ain't got no money to buy shit. So who gave us a credit card? Or who we robbing to get the money?
How about that?
You know what I'm saying? The Obama can't afford this. No shit. You know.
Well, yeah, well, then they say if we do go, then the price of oil is going to go up more.
Again.
You know, each time we go into those territories, the cost of oil goes up more.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, who's going to be paying for it, you ask? It's going to be we the people.
There you go.
You know, who pays for all of the wars?
We just can't afford more.
Right.
I mean, we have to tilt now. I mean, a long time ago, people said it was going to be, first it was middle, low, and high class. And they said they were going to do away with one class eventually, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, class, and it's no more middle class.
Yep, nothing in the middle no more. One big hollow hole.
That's it. No more middle class. But he got that.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, there's other war starts along, which they're going around trying to get some supporters, which they are getting supporters. Russia and, you know, different ones they said the main targets in Syria are going to be military sites. But then Israel is even ready for an engineer to come down. So U.S. allies demand action on Syria. That's what I see in the USA Today paper. France is ready to punish those who took the decision to gas those innocent people. So we have a lot of supporters. We have a lot of supporters, but still, you're dealing with these people that's been doing this for over 300 years. You know, look at Iraq. We went over there, leveled the playing field, and it's sporadically here and there. You'll hear that they added again. Here they blew up something 30 feet. They blew up something up 23 feet. It's a never ending war, something that we should do. Back out, and if that's what they do, that's just their lifestyle. That's what they do. You know?
Yeah, well, you know, with all the supporters that we do have, you know, other countries that say that, you know, they're willing to go to battle, what we don't have, apparently, is the support of the American people. On Saturday, I just put the link in the chat room for y'all, there is a anti-Syrian war march on Washington. Kind of reminds you of Vietnam.
Well, yeah,
but people do not want to go to war against Syria.
That's a worldwide protest. I read that.
Pardon me?
A global no war Syria rallies happens this Saturday against the 31st round world. Activists worldwide are planning, you know, Syrian anti-war protests for this Saturday. So
yeah,
that's, you know, yeah, it's straight out illegal as hell to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can't afford it, ain't got the money for it. The only one gonna make any motherfucking money is the industrial military complex. You know, and we're gonna lose lives that don't need to be lost, all because of the money.
Right.
Because they don't want our currency when it comes down to it.
Yes, and but you know I'm sorry, Ron, go ahead.
The clip I played earlier with the Syrian minister said we didn't do it to our people at all, and he blamed the U.S. of doing it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They're just, you know, they're starting the fight. They're, you know, they're throwing the cause and reason and foundation that they did it and didn't do it at all.
Right.
You know, even like I said last night, even little W. Bush said, Iraq had nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with 9/11. So we went over there anyway.
You know, whereas, you know, last time, you know, when we went to war against another, you know, when we did a strike or anything. Yes, we are taking calls, N2K, and no, you are not banned. We did it against another country because they said that they were using weapons of mass destruction and stuff against their people.
Mm-hmm.
So now it seems like the people of the world, I'm not going to just, you know, leave it to the United States, but the people of the world are starting to open up their eyes and saying, you know, okay, no, we're not buying this time. You know, no, we do not believe that Syria did this or, you know, however it goes. But our people are just saying, look, mind your business. You know, we're minding our business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's something where people are not jumping at everything that the media is throwing out there to them. They're not believing everything that's coming out of their government's mouths, that, you know, oh, we're supposed to jump and do this.
Antoinette, may I interrupt?
Yes.
is it just the hierarchy that is just trying to manipulate the people that really don't know, like the inside, and because everything needs to move in a certain order?
Well, from the clip that, if you heard the clip earlier from Karen Hughes, the World Bank whistleblower, the way how she makes it sound like it is, that it's...
Well, I answer a question, Antoinette. I have to butt in on this, but to answer your question,
sure, go ahead.
Yes, that's exactly what is going on. You got it. That's exactly right. So you got it. The question you asked is yes. Yes.
Because there is going to definitely be a collapse. Like I said, the industry that I worked in, and I really can't speak on a lot of things.
Right.
Because I'm blinded not to speak on this. But, there is definitely something else going on, and it's trying to undermine everyone and get everyone, confused and delayed and,
Saying. And here's where it's coming into a problem for them to do that control shit on our minds anymore, except for the weak-minded sheeple. Okay, here's the deal. People like us, we see it. We know what's up. But what it is a lot of people, more now than it was before, where the numbers are not very good in our favor, and a lot of things that we think or do because we're pre-thinkers, the simple fact of it is, 9/11, people all know, this many years later, wow, that does look like a bullshit deal. That don't look right. The Pentagon, that don't look right either. And then that one plane that went down with all the people, where's any part of the people? Where's the black boxes in these airplanes? Not all four of these jets, none of them had a fucking black box or covered. Come on, man. You see what I'm saying? That's bullshit. That's all bullshit. So people say, they are fucking lying to us, and that's what's going on. So now this round, I think they're nervous up there. They we ain't going to pull this in the Trump like we did those. We're going to force them like we forced them to believe this bullshit. You know what I mean?
Because
it's too late. We done know about the bullshit. Everybody done knows about the bullshit, and that's what they don't want. Too late. You done did it. You're fired. Have a nice day. Here's your
right.
Take a fucking walk. You know?
Because I know firsthand, our military, certain parts of it, they go out to incite our own military. They actually do defenses against our own military to incite them, to make them eager to go against the opponent.
Sure. Right. It's called fraud. The con game. That's what they do. It's a con job. They get you to believe that shit. Subliminal messaging, all that crazy shit. Brainwashing. They make you believe this bullshit. What do you mean?
No, I'm saying, literally, attack our military and make them perceive that it's someone else and it's not them, but because they perceive it's them, they go ahead and attack.
That's right. Right. That's what it is. You think you're there for some reason, but when you get there, when you're a soldier, when you get there, you find out it ain't really that reason. A lot of them will tell you that nowadays, ever since the Iraq War. Even Vietnam. Guys talk about shit. Most guys come back to Vietnam so fucked up over that, they don't know what to say. But they know it was way wrong. It should have never happened. That's the way it did. It should never happened at all. But it all comes back to that thing, that control. That's the control of the money, control of the currency. That's what the banks do. That's what these bankers do. They play it like a chessboard. Us, we are chess pieces. But it's a big board. You know what I mean? It's a big board. It's like, what's that game called? Dungeons and Dragons, shit like that. Battleman. That's what the game's being played. So, and nobody everybody believes this bullshit. That's what we're all fed in their head, and they buy it. They're fucking like fish that are starving, and the worm's right in front with a big, fat, juicy hook. And everybody bites it. This is all bullshit, and everybody's taking a bite out of it. That's the sad part of it. You bite it, you eat it, you got it. You're exactly getting what you want. And a lot of people, and other people don't even care. They just sit back, it ain't going to happen to me. I'll be okay. Nothing ever goes wrong with me. They'll take care of it. So they're really fucking brainwashed. That's the, you know, and it when it hits, when it does shit hits a fan, then oh my God, why did they do that? Then they want to answer at the end when they should have known already. That's the sad part. You know, get ahead of the game.
Right. That's why I'm definitely, you know, self-sufficient. And I applaud you because I know I've heard you say several times about solar panels and you have a water well and all these other different things. I definitely applaud you for that.
Well, wind turbines are my thing. But, you know, more than anything, but any type of free electric, I love it. And that's what I do. That's my thing. I'm really been it for a lot of years. But the thing, it was not. But that was not my reason. This what's going on now was not my reason, though. You know what I'm saying? It's because I knew the power companies are a big criminal cartel too. I hate them.
Excuse me, Ron.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have other callers also, dear.
Oh, we do. I'm sorry.
They want to talk about Syria.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, all the phone lines are now
okay,
open.
Okay, Jacinta, we enjoy your conversation. I always enjoy when you call.
Absolutely.
Not at all.
Absolutely. All the phone lines are open.
Okay, next caller, please.
Well, do you have something to say, cuz?
No, I'm listening to everybody else. I'll chime in periodically. You know me.
Yeah.
Okay, just don't do what you're famous for.
But why do you have to go there?
I didn't even say it.
It wouldn't be a good show without an answer.
Ron, put her in her place for me, okay?
Somebody put me in my place. Now, you know better.
Yeah,
the only one that can really do that is them grandchildren.
Cuz just sold me out, trying to get me killed. Cuz, what's up? I thought we're brothers, man. Damn, go throw me in the lion's den? Shit, that summer change ain't no week. Damn.
Wow.
I'll show what I can
hear. All right, Jug, back on topic. We were talking about Syria.
I can hear somebody else has been put on Syria because I have TV on right now on BBC and CNN, two channels, and
mm-hmm.
I also have day-to-day paper. But somebody please speak on Syria, the crisis.
Crisis. Oh, my goodness.
Well, Michael Hood has some information for us.
Okay, Michael.
All the phone lines are open.
Okay, well, N2K, if you're ready to speak, come on, your line is open. Hello, Ray, how are you? N2K, your line is open, dear.
There's no crisis in Syria. That's all like manufactured garbage to keep that area unstable. That's all to keep
on
selling weapons.
Speaking to? Excuse me.
This Rob. This is Rob. Baby.
Hi, Rob. Hi, I'm sorry, honey. It's been a while since I heard your voice.
How you doing?
But I'm happy to hear it.
Yeah, I'm happy to. Come on. It ain't time for a family reunion. Let's get that.
Oh, hush, cuz.
Ooh.
Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry, honey.
Yeah, you know, all these things over there just manufactured to sell weapons and destroy what's going on. It's just, and you're going to go ahead and spend, when there's so many people are hurting, And over here, and if you don't see it, you're blind. But there's so many people over here, you're going to spend some more money in another place, and you ain't took care of the people that's here? I mean, that just don't make no sense that we should even have any concern about that at all. It just don't make no sense to me. You got so many people over here dying daily. I've been dying over here. I live in Chicago where the murder rate is streaking behind. It's been going on like this for almost 40 years. It's going on 35 years, I believe. But there's been more people dying over here, and you ain't done nothing about this problem. Now you can go ahead and try to solve some of my other problems. That's just amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, especially since we can't afford it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
you know,
how many more lives do we need to lose?
I mean, if you look at it right now, when they're saying that, hey, there are more jobs, man, you know, there are more jobs in the market right now. And one of the things that's really crushing me is that, yeah, there's some jobs, but a lot of them are part-time jobs. So
mm-hmm.
you can't go ahead, you can't live on that them part-time wages, especially when and you're not going to have pretty much, you're going to have almost limited benefits. So I don't understand why you're going to put more money into another area that's go ahead. Look, man, let them do what they're going to do. And besides, the people over here help pay the taxes so you can have money to go ahead and slush around. So hey, when do you take care of the so-called taxpayer? It's mind-boggling.
Well,
I agree.
Appreciate the comment.
Oh, I got a few more. I was just hanging out and just listening for a minute.
Well, you're good.
And this, you know, it's something else. You talked about, you want to see, get comments on Syria. You know, I got a little bit more, but I'll leave that alone. But one of the things that's bugging me is all the aid you're sending out to all these other places. Just like I said, you're sending money out to all these other places. You know, they're keeping these places all messed up in their turmoil. Right now, they're going to go ahead. They're giving money to Egypt. And it's about $1.32 billion. And that's just so they can go ahead and buy military hardware. And they're going to head with U.S.
Their
money. Well, yeah, they're going to go ahead.
Their money.
Say it again?
Right.
They're giving that money to Egypt. And they're going to go ahead and buy the weapons and stuff, planes, pretty much planes, stuff they're not going to use. Going to put it in a big bunker, in a hangar somewhere. It's not going to be used. But for the most part, most of that stuff they're buying is from U.S. manufacturers, U.S. defense contractors, people in the U.S. defense gang
of the world. But what I'm saying is, they're going to give them their money because they don't want them to use nobody else's money. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
So that's the whole thing. When you don't use their money, they start a war against you. They come up with some bullshit reason. Because you ain't taking their money, you're doing a bunch of bad things to people, so we will get these other people to believe this bullshit story, and then your reaction, say, go over and kick their ass for doing that.
But did you see recently?
Because we go back, rebuild it, we rebuild, and we implement our money in their system. Our banks stole their money.
Ron, may I interject, like, really quickly?
Let me make this quick point, and I'll leave it alone. Did you see recently where they showed that how the CIA was involved in bringing down Iran? Did y'all see that? And then how they were involved in being, and then they were saying, hey, Saddam Hussein gas his own people, but it was the CIA helping Saddam Hussein gas Iranians also.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing is all cooked up for money reasons. And the same thing is going on right now in Syria. And you are blind
to think it's not
going on.
It's the bankers, the Illuminatis, whatever you call them, but they're money control heads.
Yeah. Now you see how those clips played in, Rob? You know, if you were here yesterday
when we did
wars are bankers' wars.
I'm fully aware of that. I had another clip I played on my show on how the whole banking system is a big fraud, a big scam, big con, and the Federal Reserve is another big old con. So I'm fully aware of that.
Mm-hmm. If I can just interject real quickly, why are we even giving other people ammunition that they could use against us in the long run? Mm-hmm. That's like me giving my so-called... so-called enemy, a bat.
Okay, that's part of the game.
When I turn my back, he's going to hit me with it.
No, you misunderstand how the game's played. Okay, I give weapons to my enemies to fight other people I don't like. I use them to do that for me.
Right, but if they're allied,
I understand it, but they won't give them enough to do anything towards us. Because we have more capabilities. We give them old shit. We don't give them our new shit. You see what I mean?
Really,
we have capabilities to touch us. But, I mean, they can.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, with technology, anybody can do almost anything. Anybody can refurbish anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So why am I going to give you a bat, and let's say it's a wood bat, and you decide to put something around it, and then hit me upside my head when I'm turning around?
That could be true. You could be right on that. But there again, like I said, they do it all the time. I mean, who invented Al-Qaeda? The terrorist group. They did.
I thought the CIA did.
That's what I'm saying. They did. They are they to me.
Oh,
all
okay.
They.
You know what?
I don't
the
give
lady
them
just,
names or titles. They're theys.
What the lady just said about those people going ahead using the weapons against us, that to me, that's a big myth. That's to keep you afraid of going ahead and what the U.S. is doing, taking the armies and protecting the big bankers and doing the atrocities that they're doing around the planet. that keep you afraid. These people ain't going to go. These people, they got, the U.S. got too much. If you know anything about the military and what they have and the surveillance and all this other stuff that's out there, and they just sent off another big satellite, okay? If you knew about the stuff that's going on that's out there, there's almost no way these people can go ahead and use their weapons against you. And just like that guy just said, Ron, he just said, hey, look, the U.S. sells them garbage, stuff that they already know. It's like selling you, that what they're doing is they gave you a computer that doesn't have a hard drive in it. That's what they do. And they're going to go ahead and give you money, go ahead, so you can buy U.S. weapons. They already know the technology. There's no way possible that these people can go ahead and use that against you. That is a myth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You're right.
Good
that's,
point.
That's
I never
right.
thought
I,
about that.
Uh-huh. That's
well,
right. Exactly
I'm,
what
never
I
gonna,
said.
I'm never going to say that my opponent doesn't have as much knowledge or can't acquire as much knowledge as I have. I'm never going to say that.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, I understand your point on that, but the thing of it is, the resources to make these things for them. They might not have all the contacts to get everything we get a hold of. You know, we might be controlling that market or that item or whatever that is. That's what they do. They control the industry too. They control everything. So they pick and choose what you get. You might get an M16 that came from the Vietnam War, but it don't have a firing pin. So you have to make a bunch of firing pins for it. You see what I mean? To make it work.
Well. I just still remember when I was a little kid, it was like Russia that was so against us, and Russia has allied against someone who is against someone who we have allied with. So I personally just think that I'm like the gentleman. Why are we doing business somewhere else and helping other people when we should be helping ourselves?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, you know, who is the opponent? Who is defining who your opponent is? You know, you don't know these people personally, so you're going off what somebody else is putting in front of you. These people are controlling the message, so, you know, they're controlling the message and they're controlling the media. So they control the media, so they control the message that gets to you. You know, you ain't went out there and dealt with some of these people personally, so you can't say that these people are your opponent. You got to look at who's putting out these messages and the reason for that. There's money behind all this. Money is what they value. That is the leading factor in going ahead and starting almost any conflict around the globe today. And right now, it's to sell bullets instead of selling beans. That's more important. Buying bullets is more important than buying beans.
Mm-hmm. Practically.
Yeah.
That's the whole the thing, man. You know, with the government buying all these bullets, NSA buying all these millions of rounds and all this crazy shit. You know, that's a fear thing. That's to make you fear them, you know. But I, like I said before, I believe it's gonna collapse on them. Eventually, all this shit's going to fall in on them, you know. Because it's an inevitable fact, it's going to crack. The information's coming out now. The leaks are starting to come out about what they've been doing, everything going on. So, you know, it's an inevitable effect. People are probably going to wake up and see what's going on. They're going to try to change their way of thinking, you know. But it's getting to the point now. I tell you, at a point in life now, you can't trust fucking nobody.
Really?
That's becoming a sad thought, you know. You know, you could take a man's word on a handshake, and it'd be honored. It'd be done. You know what I mean? There weren't no contracts. But now today, everything's under contract or a waiver or some crazy shit constantly. You always got to sign your fucking name to something. I don't sign my name to nothing. But, I mean, you know, but people do it free willy because they think they have to. And they don't. But
Can I chime in?
Give me a second. Anyway, so what you're getting stuck in a contract. You don't even know what the fuck you signed. You know? But it's another way to trap you into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the game has a lot of different features in it. You know? Lots of them. You got me? That's how it's played. You know, I learned my game through the court system. I fought these fuckers for 30 years, and I figured it out. It's a money game. It's all about stealing money. And people voluntarily give it to them. It's a fear game. You know, and I love it. Threaten their money, they'll back the fuck off you. And that's the way I like to do it. And it's worked for me. You know, I don't promote people go out to commit crime, but for a little bullshit traffic ticket is bullshit.
I got one better for you than that. This guy took $2.6 million and got 6 months probation. This guy stole his neighbor's lawnmower and got 33 years in prison. Now think about that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. When the banks need to fucking bail out, who went to jail? Nobody. They pulled a couple low ride motherfuckers in, but that was just to show, keep face. You know what I mean? But the real son of bitches that were really involved didn't go to jail. They got fucking bonuses. You know, come on, man.
Can I chime in? Go ahead, brother. All right. Here's I'm going to put this in the ghetto vernacular for people like Cynthia and not to just exclude her, Antoinette, Chef Rob already know what I'm talking about. Rod Rick already know what I'm talking about. The game is sold, not told.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that's what you got to understand. The whole Syrian thing that we're talking about, that's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
We can sit here
and pontificate, extrapolate, interpolate. And for those of you who are not familiar with those adjectives, it's mathematical. That means that you can create a theory and then extrapolate the theory into an actual proven theorem, and then you can derive whatever answer you want to come from that. As a result, at the end of the day, what's going to happen is that it's going to all be about who's in control.
Right.
It's not about the masses.
Yeah.
It's about who's in control. And with that being said, we can sit here and we can deliberate and we can do all this stuff over, well, is it right? Is this a crime against humanity? At the end of the day, human beings do the most atrocious things to human beings. And then we sit and we ask each other, why are we doing this? It's because there are certain people who have power over other people. It's not about right or wrong. It's about who controls the pieces.
That's why I said the hierarchy. It's them that are in control. It's not someone who, I mean, I make good money. But I'm not in control. I'm in control of my own life.
And guess what, Cynthia? At the end of the day, no matter how much good money you make, somebody, and more than likely, they'll be white, they can take it all from you.
Well,
the money you make don't mean shit. The money that any of us makes. And I'm not singling you out, Cynthia. I'm just trying to get you to understand.
The money that we all make,
it don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing.
I've been there and done that. So,
you understand. She understands what I'm talking about. She understands.
Okay, but I have to interject on this. Now, hold on, man. I got to interject this. All right, since you said, you know, they don't control you. Is that what you said? They don't control you.
No, they don't control.
Hold on, man.
Are you talking to Cynthia or me?
Yeah, I'm talking to Cynthia. Yeah, hold on, man.
Okay. My bad.
So you say you control yourself. They don't control you. Is that what you're saying?
Definitely, because I'm still self-sufficient. I still, even though I make good money,
uh-huh.
I'm from the country, so I know how to. You know, I have agricultural, and I have my own garden. I have all these other things.
Well, that's cool. I'm for you on that. Definitely, that's cool. I do the same thing.
Yeah.
I do the same thing. Yeah. Check this out. But when you say they don't have control of you, you're wildly mistaken on that one. Here's why. Okay, there's a lot of reasons.
No,
I can doubt them.
May I just interject?
Sure.
They've taken so much from me, like my taxes, the bracket that I'm in, it just irritates the crap out of me.
Uh-huh.
And But if someone to tell me I need to have more kids, that just really irritates me.
That's part of the control.
To have more white off.
Right, but I know, I understand, but that's still part of the control. But anyway, the other thing I'm going to bring up to you, okay, you wear a seatbelt, right? When you drive, I'm sure, you drive a car, truck, whatever. You put on a seatbelt because of the law, right?
Yeah.
You don't have a choice in that, do you?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You don't have a choice in that, whether you wear it or not. You have to wear it because it's the law. You'll be fined and lose money, right?
I used to work for the courts. I'm going to always wear a seatbelt.
Because it's the law.
Yes.
See, they got control of you. Right. Where do they
not necessarily that they have control of me, but I've been in accidents, and that seatbelt probably did save my life.
Maybe so. But here's what I'm saying, though. It is an individual, each individual's choice whether they want to put that thing on or not. They have the option. They should have the option. It shouldn't be a forced law. That's what I'm saying. It's your own choice. If you want to get killed in a car wreck by not wearing a seatbelt, that's your choice. You see what I'm saying? So that's just one of those things where they do have control of you. But they use your money. They threaten your money to make you do things. That's what they do. That's just a small example. Well, there's thousands of others they do. But that's just why I really like to talk to people because, you know, maybe I don't feel like wearing my seatbelt today. But I'm going to be prosecuted. Defaced because that's what they want, but it ain't what I want, and I had no say-so over this. They just threw it in there. Like it's mandatory insurance law. There's another one. They control you. They force you to buy insurance. So, you see, and insurance is bullshit anyway. What if you never use it? You don't get none of that money back. So you gave money away for nothing. But, I mean, yeah, it's a good thing to have. I get that. Bye. But, you know, it's those things. I don't agree with them. You know, they do have control of you in some way, some manner. They got it somewhere. I mean, oh, I believe in being free. I live in the Ozark Mountains. I feel like I'm free. You know, that's the bullshit I believe in my mind. But I know when I get that road or whatever, I do something they don't like, I gotta pay for it. I have to give up money for it because that's what they want.
Ron.
Yes.
Ron, can I interject just for a second?
Absolutely.
Not to interrupt you and Cynthia.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
But
I'm good.
Just to say this, is that as people today, us all together right now, we understand what's going on. We got it. We got it figured out. Chef Rob got it figured out. Ron got it figured out. Antoinette got it figured out. Whoever else is on the line got it figured out. We know what the hell is happening. Now, here's my question. Why is it that we are succumbing to this totally bastardized way of doing things, and we know what's going on? Why are we still complicit in this game? We're trying to intellectualize it. We're psychoanalyzing it. And yes, that is cathartic. That serves a purpose. However, collectively, Cynthia, where you at? Ron, where you at? Antoinette, where you at? Chef Rob, where you at? And I know Chef Rob is doing big things, and I'm trying to do things here. And I know Cynthia's trying to do things where she's at. And Ron, you trying to do things where you're at. However, with that being said, why do we keep running up against this brick wall that just is not letting us through? It's not letting us through.
Pick me.
Go ahead, Rob.
Pick me.
Pick me.
Who said that?
Oh, God.
hey, you know what? You know that brick wall? Because you don't have a real stick. You don't have real strong media apparatus in place. That's why. And you're going up against people who's been doing this, going ahead and manipulating media and propaganda and all this other stuff for years.
Yeah, old veterans.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, it's we got generations of people who go ahead and use, you know, this propaganda message to go ahead and push an agenda, to sell a product, you know, to push an ideology for years. So when you go ahead and you come up with you know, when you go ahead and you recognize this, you find that you are a minority amongst the minorities, man. So you have to try to go ahead and get these minorities to go ahead and come on board with you, because a lot of the minorities are still going ahead. They're still afraid, but they know something wrong. They go ahead and mumble in the closet, sing in the shower about it, but they don't really want to come out. So it's an uphill struggle, an uphill battle, man. But you can't give up. Fear.
Fear.
Exactly.
Fear. And you guys know what? You guys know what? We are what's right with the world. Mm-hmm. Everything else is wrong. We are what's right. Listen to what I'm saying. The fact that we're sitting here talking about this, you, Chef Rob, you, Ron Rec, Antoinette, Cynthia, Michael Hood, all of us, we are what's right with the world, and we got to stand by that. We got to stand by it, man. And we might have to die for it. That's what revolution is all about.
Oh, my goodness, dying. Oh,
some people got to die.
No more strip club? Oh, my goodness.
No, Rob. No, Rob, oh, no more strip club. No. No more hair weave. No more making it rain.
Oh,
all that
goodness.
Nonsense.
You're taking all of the fun things out of life. No, I get you. I understand what you say. I know it's at a point where you got to put a lot of those things down, because I'm a veteran, former soldier. So you realize, hey, look, you partied last night, but the next day you got to go to work.
Rob, I want to ask you something based on that experience. You being a war veteran.
Mm-hmm.
What do you really see that is going on with this whole Syria thing, just from your past experience?
I said it earlier. It's all it's going to do is just go ahead and make a lot more young men and women pissed off. That's all. It's going to make a lot more men pissed off, because it's something that you also see that the same job you're doing, they bring in somebody else who went through the military, probably spent about 4 or 5 years on, you know, active duty, six, whatever, and then he go ahead and work for these private firms, and they right there next to you, but they bring it down $100,000 to $200,000 a year. So it's kind of messed up, you know. This ain't going to make a whole lot of people mad, and it's going to go ahead and make a lot of people rich in the same instance.
Yeah, because the ones that manufacture the products and the weapons and everything for
war. So some people in this kind of game, some people get rich, and then you got some people that get poor. That's the name of the game.
But you go ahead and you say it like we should accept people getting poor. We shouldn't accept that at all.
No, I didn't say we have to accept it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because you go ahead, you look at it like this. You know, if you're going to go ahead and say, well, some people get poor. So what happens if you're the one getting poor?
Yeah, I've been poor when I first called.
Can I interject?
Sure, shoot. I mean, don't shoot, but go.
Yeah.
Most people, when gas was, when I was younger, didn't fill up their tank when it was a dollar something a gallon. So now it's for almost $5 a gallon, you still ain't filling up. So what difference does it make?
Today people can't afford to fill it up.
Yeah, exactly. When it was a dollar something a gallon, you were capable. You're
missing my point. Mm-hmm. My point is that if you didn't even fill up your gas tank when it was less than a dollar or a dollar and so much, you ain't really going to fill up your tank when it's $4 a gallon.
Well, I personally would suggest that everyone fill theirs up now, because if they start that war over in Syria, which Michael Hood has said earlier that he heard that we're supposed to go over on Thursday or something like that.
Yeah, that's what
they're saying. That you better take and fill it up now before that price of oil goes
tomorrow.
Up, and that's going to affect the gas prices. That's going to affect your heating. It's going to affect so many things that you better start doing it now.
Yeah,
and Ray said that it costs him $100 to fill his tank, and that's on regular. So
no,
I suggest people start looking at things now. Pardon me?
That depends on what type of car he drives.
Yeah, but I'm saying that the prices is going to go up. It's going to go up regardless. You know, things are going to go up. And then, you know, is this global march that they're calling for on Saturday against going to war that is globally, is this going to be effective?
No, it's not.
I don't know either.
If I could just interject also, the place where I live at is a very remote area, and there's a lot of Syrian, whatever, Arabic people that have moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just saw the guy the other day, he changed the sign, and I was like, the gas in town is, like, way cheaper than you guys. You're just making me not want to buy gas from you. And he was like, oh, no, this is what we have to do because we have to buy, you know, whatever his excuse was.
Yeah.
So I definitely know that prices are going up because I see it in my own neighborhood.
Yeah,
can
it's going to go up even
more.
Can I
interject something?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, no, that's all I'm done. Go ahead.
I just wanted to interject something. Not by my own circumstance. I got involved in commodities trading. And then I got involved in the world economic trading of goods and services. And this is what I learned about the oil industry. Number one, it's a cartel. It's run like a drug market. Now, the United States only gets 25% of its oil, 0.25% of what we need in oil comes from the Middle East. That's all we get. And what we did was, what the United States did was, they capped all the oil wells that were in the United States, which is in the Gulf of Mexico, okay, Texas, Mississippi, that whole region. And then they capped the oil wells in South America, Venezuela, and all of this. So what they did was they created a conglomeration of the oil industry in the sense that all these other countries are dependent on oil. However, the United States is not dependent on any oil whatsoever. However, they are linked to the Saudi Arabians, the silent partner. They're linked to them, and they fund all these terrorist cells, quiet as it's kept, that nobody likes to talk about. Because when we talk about Al-Qaeda and all these other little sects of the Muslim Brotherhood.
You know what's so funny? And the Hillbillies, I don't know if anybody ever watched that. She did.
Okay, shoot to me. I'm just joking. I want to listen to some news.
Yeah, man. Hey, Ron, are you in phone guy? Ron?
Who is speaking?
Oh, hey. This is a Jamaica from the Ron. Long time.
Hello, Jamaica. How are you, dear?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I basically got off, you know, my work thing, little 7-hour shift, 6 hours, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
5 after break.
Okay.
Yeah, I just got here. I'm just listening to the whole oil thing. I was going to, I don't know, I wanted to talk to Ross about probably, you know, maybe, what do you think will happen if you...
You have a lot of background noise.
Yeah, it's me. Oh, I'm back.
Is that you, Ron?
Hey. Yeah. No,
okay.
I don't know.
Better.
I was gonna ask though, but what do you think if like, say for example, you got five people, and you know they started their own like local type of oil refinery type of thing where like say for example,
God.
I'm here in the Bronx.
You can't do it. You can't do it.
Well,
the oil market. The oil market is locked.
Yeah, you're
it's
wasting
locked.
Your time. You're wasting your time with that.
You can't do it, and that's what I was talking about.
No.
It's a
okay.
Cartel.
Hold on.
Only certain entities are involved in the oil market, and they dictate the price. So you guys are talking about when, and this is going back to what Cynthia was saying, where the price of gas goes up or down. If you remember back, if you're old enough, which you're not, and I already know this, back in the 70s.
Oh, excuse me. Ron? Oh.
See, they don't want me to give you the information. Back in the 70s.
Not me.
Back in the 70s, when we had those long lines of a gas shortage, there wasn't a gas shortage. It was the cartel manipulating the market. The oil industry. Why do you think the United States, why do you think we have this issue with Syria and Jordan and Egypt, and Libya, and Israel, is because it's the hotbed of American, it's the hotbed of civilization, period.
Wait, hold
it's
on,
the
hold
hotbed.
On. Hold on, don't leave off, well, they're using politics to go ahead and make their point, okay, and they're using
exactly.
It. Exactly. They're using it to go ahead and make their point, and they go ahead and use it to go, and also to go ahead and using this fake premise of racism to make their point. See, that's something
right.
else. You know, they keep
right.
on using that the
right.
whole thing. The whole, we hate them. They hate us. They hate them. And they go ahead and use that
right.
to go ahead and make a dollar. You know, and people feed
right.
into that.
Right.
May
why do you think they had planes fly into the Twin Towers? That wasn't about terrorism. That wasn't about terrorism. That was about globalism.
That's right. It's money.
May I interject with you, gentlemen?
Hmm.
We have oil here in America. So why are we not using our own resources?
I just told you, Cynthia. I just told you.
Well,
because they done put a cap on it. They want you to think. Go ahead, Rob.
Here's something else. You know, why do you need to use oil anyway? Well, you can go ahead with your car. You can use a bunch of other fuels. You can go ahead and change that thing over.
Hold on, damn it. We got 6 seconds. Call in. If you're going to go on with the rest of the show. We got an hour left to go. We're going to call in. You're going to overtime with us. You better call in now. You got like 60 seconds, a little less than 60 seconds. Call in now. And it'll open up all the phone lines. Continue,
Rob.
You should go ahead and keep on. You should go ahead and leave that whole oil thing alone because you see how they've taken that and keep playing with the price. Go ahead, convert your car over.
Excuse me for 1 second, Ron. Rob, I'm sorry. I don't mean to talk over you. But the call-in number, folks, is 718. Okay.
508.
9813. Again, that number is 718
508-9813. You got 10 seconds.
Okay. You better call it now. Yeah, there's a bunch of ways to go ahead and use the, you can get other fuels to go ahead and use your car, your house, to oil machinery. There's other stuff you can use. And you don't need that. All you're doing is you're playing this game that oil that you need, that you don't need that at all. It don't take much. You make a small investment.
Okay.
Hold on, I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna leave it alone.
Right.
You make a small investment now, you can go ahead and have you everlasting. Put a lot more money in your pocket tomorrow.
Yeah, man. All right. I was trying to make that statement, man. I agree with you, guy, on that because there's virtually probably about like five, you know, different alternative fuel sources that we can use that are known to date, not including like the two that I got that I came up with myself.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, what I was saying was, you know, with social media and networking and all this type of stuff, it's pretty easy for people to start their own conglomerates, even on a local basis. You know, if you're gonna sell gas to an alternative fuel source at $150 a gallon, I mean $1.50 a gallon, compared to $3.75. Who do you think that people are going to hear about very quickly, you know? So
you can't buy into the oil market. Oprah Winfrey can't buy into the oil market. Bill Gates can't buy into the oil market. Warren Buffett can't buy into the oil market. It's a closed business.
If I go to McDonald's and I go get oil, you're going to tell me that I
can't
get oil?
You can't do it. You can't do it.
You
can't do it.
Like I was
saying,
okay, Matt, excuse me, gentlemen.
I'll even tell you how.
You can't do it.
Gentlemen.
Say, for example, if you have 100 friends on your Facebook, right, 50 of those friends have cars. Now, and you are the guy that has the ability to distill and refine oil. Don't you think
Kid, you can't buy into the oil market. You got to be born into that.
Okay,
you can't buy
gentlemen.
Into it.
Excuse
Who's
me, gentlemen.
Who's going to buy into it? Why
Hold on,
man.
Excuse me, sweetheart. Excuse me.
I don't want to use your oil anymore.
Okay, baby. Excuse me. Excuse me for a second.
Go ahead.
Gentlemen, I appreciate all of y'all's statements about, you know, what you can do with oil and what you can't do with it.
Right.
But do you understand right now, I know everyone, you know, entrepreneurship, which is great, but they're calling for war. Now, are we going in it? Is this, wait a minute, sweetheart, just give me a second, please.
So whatever happens,
okay, wait a minute, honey. Honey, excuse me, baby.
Go ahead,
just give me a second. Thank you.
If we go to war.
Excuse me, honey. Can I, please?
Excuse.
Now, what is going to happen if we go into war? I mean, if we go into war, you sound like you're a young guy. You know, since our military is already thin.
Right.
Is this going to call for a draft? You know, so you can want to be an entrepreneur. You can have all these great ideals. But where is this going to leave the young people that are here, the young people that, you know, are going to be leaving children, small children, and, you know, and also now they're taking women, so, you know, it's going to be mothers and fathers that are probably going to be out in these wars and grandparents, hopefully, that will be raising these children. You know, how many places can we be at? And how many countries can we fight? And if we're over there, then who's to say, now that we're so thin, that we're not open for an attack?
They're going to die, Antoinette. They're going to
Okay, so
die.
Where does that leave this place? Where does that leave this country?
That leaves it desolate. It's going to be an abomination. It's going to be total destruction. People are going to die. And people need to understand this. Stop being with this whole, oh, okay, well, we're trying to be altruistic, and we're trying to have this, and we're trying to have that. No, people are being led to death. That's what it's going towards. And that's how it's going to go down. people are going to die. Period. And I'm done. You can dream up whatever you want to dream up. Motherfuckers going to die. And that's it.
You know, did you hear what Dr. Claude Anderson said? I'm going to go ahead and add a little bit more to what he said.
Yes, I'm very privy to Dr. Claude Anderson.
You see what he said about the Monopoly game? Okay, so he said, hey, look, you know, pretty much, and I'm going to add something to it. You know, so I see it like this. You know, whites got $1,000. Arabs got about $600. Asians got about $400. Hispanics got about $300. And blacks got $50. How many damn times?
$50.
How many times you think we gonna make it around the damn board with that $50?
Maybe we get halfway around the board.
Halfway.
We won't even make it all the way around.
Shoot, hey, we ain't making it that way.
Well, hey, Ron, can you hear me?
Yeah, Perry, what's up, brother? What's happening?
Oh, no, you said my phone had a lot of static.
It was squealing, man, for a minute. I was squealing like a motherfucker. And I was like, man. And I was muting the whole board off, and then I hit yours, and it went out. I said, oh, damn, Perry. So I'm going to call you on your regular phone, man, or yell at your cell phone and say, hey, man, what's up? But yeah, you're on, brother.
Oh, nothing, man. Nothing. I was just sitting here listening to y'all conversation.
Right on.
You're going to do another hour, man. I said at 10:30. You want me to set to 11 o'clock?
Well, I could kick him out here at 10:30. But I didn't know what you're doing. You said you're kicked out of BTR. I've been having problems with every show I'm doing too. It kept saying I was in the Midland Islands, my time zone.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I program 8 o'clock here at show, I was programmed 8. But when I called in, your show starts in 6 hours. I'm like, man. So they kept doing it. Oh. But I mean,
I tell you what, you want to do 10:30, man, that's fine. Or you want to do 11 o'clock, that's fine too.
Well, let me run this out at 11 o'clock. Let me do the rest of the hour, and we'll just, you know, we'll jump over.
It's 6, after 11.
Okay,
yeah,
right on.
You're talking about Central Time and 2K.
Oh, okay.
Right. Me and Perry Central. We're in the middle of the match.
But Rob, people got to die. That's where we're at right now. This
I'm
going to
be on hold, man. I'm going to be this.
This is what people don't want to deal with. People are dying every day, and it's going to continue. This is the reality that we don't want to deal with. People are dying every day. They're dying in America. They're dying in Syria. They're dying in Iraq. They're dying in Iran. They're dying in Jordan. They're dying in Israel. They're dying in Egypt. They're dying in Libya. They're dying in Germany. They're dying every day. That's the world you live in now. It's carnage. It's carnage. And that's how it's going down. And you can paint whatever picture you want, but let's deal with reality. People are dying all over the world in great numbers.
True.
Dying.
True.
That's reality.
Yeah.
And
Are we going into World War III?
No, we're already in World War III. We don't even realize it. We're already in it. It's already been started. Yeah, it is. They just ain't dropped no bombs on you. They fly in drones, and you better not shoot on them drones, because they already told you that. If you shoot on them drones, we ain't got no responsibility for you, because they are unmanned, artificial intelligence entities that will fire back point blank. And for all the people who are listening, all you little militia people, don't shoot on them drones, because they will shoot back and they will hit you point blank. Man, it's on.
But that would
the
be
game
a
is over.
Yeah, let me ask something. Is East Coast on the line?
Sean?
Is East Coast on the line?
Oh.
The game is over, man. We you know, we sitting here playing like this is some kind of just checkers, and man, the game is on. This ain't no joke. This shit is serious.
Anything serious been like this for decades.
Okay, now we got Ray on the line. Now he about to kick some science.
If you remember correctly, the last time the UN went into Syria, they found the rebels to be the ones dropping the sarin gas. Now conveniently,
okay.
they're coming out saying that it's the Assad regime. Come on, man. That's like our presidential election. It's 8 years Democrat, 8 years Republican. They just go back and forth because they don't know.
Here we go.
Syria has.
Here we go. I'm with you. Here we go. Keep going.
But did you have any proof each way? Because, see, you know, I'm like this. I'm only in America. I'm from the hood. I'm in America. I mean, I've been over there. I lived over there in that type of environment before. I've lived over there. But me, I don't know who's doing it. That's a civil war. I just know, I mean, I'm not going to say them
people. Who told you it was a civil war?
None of something.
Who told you it was a civil war? Who told you it was a civil war? That was my point. These people are doing stuff over there and coming back and telling you it's such and such and such and such.
What is the
who
definition of a civil war?
You brought
no,
it up.
I'm
you
saying,
it up.
No, it's not a civil war.
Listen.
That man
could
have
been
invaded.
What is the
definition
of a civil war? That's not a civil war.
No, it's not. It's not. What it is outside influences stirring up people for political, for financial, and supporting it financial, their financial gains by going ahead and playing a political game on you.
And territorial.
I agree, Rob.
It's a sectarian war.
So who are the people? Who are the people who invaded specifically? I mean, give me names. You saying Al Qaeda invaded that country
Al-Qaeda
and tried to take over Nobar?
Al Qaeda, Hezbollah.
All that's CIA funded. So to lead them out the fray, I brought it up earlier. The U.S. has finally admitted, mainly because most of the people involved are all dead. So that's why they brought it up. That's why they brought it up to, hey, the U.S. assisted Iraq into going ahead and destroying Iran. They helped bring down the Iranian government in the 50s because all these people pretty much dead. You're going to find out later on that what they're going on right now is over there is a bunch of BS. And they go ahead and keep you scared.
Okay.
They go come and invade you and all the other stuff. You know, that's so you can go ahead and support their bullshit overseas. That's it, period.
When I make statements, you're saying that I'm supporting them. I'm asking you questions, so don't come off like I'm supporting. Because, look, I don't live over there. So I'm not supporting one-on-one. I'm just asking questions. Now, you're saying that small Al-Qaeda in them came and tried to overtake that government. So now you got the little Al-Qaeda and all those CIAs that y'all are talking about fighting their government, right? But I'm going to say this. Internationally, chemical bombs cannot be used, so somebody using them. Now, I'm going to ask you, I'm not over there, who's using the chemical bombs? Because we can use factually know that a chemical has been in the air. You can test a dead body. That can be recorded.
Exactly.
Are you using them?
How do you get you're getting your information by this media. You're getting your information.
You're not over there. I'm getting mine from the media, and you're getting yours from the media who has a bias. Both sides of the world has
let,
bias.
Let me go ahead.
So,
let
man,
me,
you as Americans don't know what the fuck to believe. So I'm asking you questions.
Let me ask you a question. Foreign news have a bias.
All media have a bias.
Hold up. Now, you and I both.
None of us know the truth.
Hold on, you and I both been in that part of the world. We also deal with the nuclear biological threats and all the other stuff all the time. We're trying to get prepared for it. So we know what's on the ground. So you know that. So you don't. You also know that, hey, look, stuff that's happening over there, you'll never hear it in the media over here. You know you never will. Because the same thing, and I come back here, when I got back over here years back, I said, man, did y'all hear about such and such people? Like, no, we know that shit happened. And so these people, and if you go ahead and look, and you can pay attention, when they go ahead, it's money involved. To go ahead and have all these people going over there and having fighting all these people, it's just for money. It's for no other reason. And they got the media to go ahead and get you to fear and to go ahead and support what they're doing overseas. And you know it's a lie, Mike. Don't give me that, man.
But, hold on. Why are you saying I'm supporting them? I'm just asking questions, guys. I just want to know, is people playing and saying, because they're going to test and see if them people have chemical bombs or not.
Exactly.
Because, listen, America don't want to have another bombshell and find out that them people didn't, and it didn't come from them, and we treat, because I want to go in another round. See, America, we can't strike them but so many times because Obama said today evenly, he called the Civil War, even though y'all disagree, but he said he can't hit their military in a way that the military can't fight against the insurgents. But I'm saying you shouldn't even touch them anyway, because any way you touch them, you're still weakening them, so it's a contradiction.
chemical weapons were used in World War II. In Germany.
I know that. Right. That's the first time we used the weapons of mass
destruction. So why are you talking about chemical weapons? And whether or not it's ethical or not.
That's why they made it international.
They've been using it. They've been using it since 1935.
Okay, so when did they come with the international law, though? All countries, 180 countries saying,
I told you fucked up, man.
That you can't use.
The only real weapons of mass destruction were nuclear destruction on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That's the only real
weapons. That's what I'm saying, Terry. That's what I'm saying.
You've been in the military, Chef Rob. Listen, you saying I'm fuck up in the head. I fought for this country.
I didn't say
I've been in ballistics, bro.
I don't know about this country.
Go ahead.
Jabba the Hutt looking motherfucking prey still keep on cutting me off, you ugly ass bitch. Shut the fuck up, yo.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm talking to issues. See, how they attack
you? Ain't talking no motherfucking issues, fool. You ain't talking no issues. You ain't talking no issues, you retarded motherfucker.
You
shout butt rat cocksucker.
You
want to
shout butt rat cocksucker. You want somebody to shotgun. Stop having a contest between your audience to be your shotgun co-host, bitch. Stop putting people in the... nobody want a competition for you, but listen, Rob. It's chemical weapons, weapons of mass destruction, yo. Rob, you've been over there. Is chemical weapons or considered weapons of mass destruction?
Yeah, up to today's standards, yes.
Thank you, exactly. And you know why? Because when you let off one ballistic missile, people can breathe that, and the masses of people can die. It doesn't have to depend on buildings. He's saying buildings got to come down, that's weapons. No, it's the bodies. No buildings have to fall. If millions of people die, it's weapons of mass destruction.
But when the last time you know millions of people die?
Hold on, Perry.
When the last time you know it, though?
Wait.
When the last time you know Mains of people died because of chemical weapons?
Yeah, I told you.
No, 100,000 died in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, with nuclear weapons. So answer the question, cocksucker.
I told you we're going to step outside, Perry. Didn't I tell you? Look, man, look, here's the thing.
Well, we all step outside. You don't want to fuck with me. And don't talk that shit on the air to me.
Hold on, Perry.
You calling me out. That's one thing I can't stand. A motherfucker call me out. Don't ever call me out. You made a fatal motherfucking mistake calling me out.
Okay.
I have a good idea.
Like that, man. I'm serious.
Don't never do me like that, man.
Okay.
Don't call me
Atomic Ray. You still on the line, Atomic Ray?
Don't call me out, man.
He
called me out, man.
You're
going to have a problem with me, man.
Here's the thing.
Call me out.
Here's the thing. These chemical weapons still affect people, even their reproductive, even their reproductive cycles. That's what you got to also look at. Because these things don't just go ahead, they just kill people right then. They still go ahead and keep affecting you in the reproductive system also. Yes or no?
All right, let me ask this question. Rob, Perry, Atomic Ray, and All Facts, would you agree that chemical weapons were introduced by the Germans at the turn of the century and were being perpetrated on the public during World War One and World War Two?
I think they were before that.
No,
actually.
No.
They were before that. No.
They were long before that.
Right.
I think
in
what
the
NC's trying
system,
to ask.
They used waste. They used to throw waste on people, man.
Yeah.
Sure did. They used to throw waste on people, man. Sewage on people, man. The philosophy of chemical weapons is anything that's biological and hazardous to anybody's health, they throwed it on them. They did that shit when they had castles a long time ago.
Yeah.
Perry, Atomic Ray, when did chemical warpare start?
In
it
World
goes
War
back
One?
And Rob,
Chef Rob.
I don't
Chef
think.
Rob.
It goes back centuries.
It goes back
Germany
centuries.
Germany brought
centuries.
The first attack.
They did that shit centuries ago.
Yeah.
Centuries
you got to look at Austria and Hungary. They were warring with each other before World War One, and I'm sure they were gassing each other back then.
Yeah, but that's gas. It's also a chemical, biological.
Chemical weapon was just natural substances that they got together to throw on people.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
The Muslims
back then practiced the same stuff as they are today. It's no different.
It wasn't just the Muslims. It wasn't just the Muslims.
No,
it was the Christians too, wasn't it?
Who started it? The Germans?
You know what? Honestly, if you want to go ahead and really go and listen who started it, it go be fact well before they even came on the scene. Okay, that goes back a lot of years, man. Because all you had to do was pretty much.
I thought the question was who threw the first gas attack.
No, because you're talking about compared to that, that's almost modern day warfare. But you want to go?
I was saying chemical weapons. Period. No matter how you define it.
Chemical weapons.
When did that start?
They go back to almost the beginning of the very first conflicts on the planet. Way back.
3,000, 4,000 BC with
the Mongols. Maybe not them, correct.
Africa was very well unified back then. I doubt they did it. The Europeans very well could have. Those white people were cooking up all kinds of stuff in their labs, and all it takes is one bad mind, and hell, thousands are dead.
So what the fuck is All Facts talking about when chemical weapons got introduced in the 1950s, 40s, 50s? What is he talking
about? Maybe he's talking about who threw it first. Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Chemical weapons.
But you guys are saying that chemical weapons was implemented centuries, thousands of years before that. Now he's talking about the fact that chemical weapons didn't get introduced until the late 40s or Hiroshima, Nagasaki, however we want to argue that. But he's making a case for the fact that it's a modern invention, and you guys are saying it's an ancient invention.
Yeah, it's been modernized. You know, they've added explosives to the chemical charge. You could thank the Chinese for that. They're the ones that brought gunpowder.
And they're the ones that we keep leaving out the argument.
You could strap a gas charge to a rocket and launch it into some place. One thing interesting about Syria, just for those who's been following, my Syrian client has come back and his family's safe. So that's all taken care of. Can't wait to hear the stories of what I've been
good,
picking
right?
up.
That's good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's awesome. So,
I want to know from the people who have been in the military, Perry, Chef Rob, All Facts, how do you guys see, when you look at the timeline, how do you see it going in the direction that we're going in now?
Same as it's always been. We might posture, you know, but if we fire anything and hit something, it's probably going to be the game they've always been playing. We're going to strike this because it's a weapons embankment, you know. Well,
yeah.
What do you do?
Communications and stuff like that, shutting them down so they can't talk to one another and so it can create more chaos.
Well, that would create all kinds of chaos.
Man, all we
got
to do is look back at recent history. Every time we've had military intervention in any country, supposedly that's abusing its people, man, it's been all fucked up for the people that live there. So, you know, if it goes this way, then like I said, just between me and you, I hope the Republicans impeach Obama. I hope they impeach his motherfucking man.
No,
I hope
they're
they
not.
Impeach. Oh, damn.
He's on his way out. He's on his way out.
No, but see, Bill Clinton was on his way out, and they tried to impeach him, too. I hope they impeach him.
No. Nah,
I mean, this Syrian intervention is not going to do us any good. No.
What
I
you
mean,
think,
look,
Rob?
I don't fight no motherfucker for nothing, okay?
They ain't going
to
go here.
You attacking me, I'll fight you. But if I'm going to have to fight you, man, and jump on you with a bunch of people, I want something for that shit, man.
We're
not going to get a motherfucking thing for that.
What you think, Rob?
They're going to impeach Obama on what? What's the charge? On what grounds? They got
illegal war. Illegal war.
Yeah.
Illegal war.
He can do that, honestly. Look at what George Bush did.
And you agree with that, Atomic Ray?
No, that's not Atomic Ray.
You agree with that?
That's not Atomic Ray.
What? No, I'm saying Ray's on the phone right now. War crimes? They can impeach him on that?
No.
It's
not a war crime.
I believe they can.
But let me ask you a question.
It's him abusing his power.
And it's still, even if you go ahead and say he impeached his power, it has to be almost a criminal offense. They really don't have nothing to impeach him on. They keep talking about it.
They do, Ray. We let him go to Pakistan. Man, look, the War Powers Act can only extend for so far. You know what I'm saying? Remember when they was in Libya, the Congress didn't want to vote for no more money to support it? You remember that?
Yes.
Man, they can come back and say, look, the American people don't approve this shit, man, because we ain't getting none out of it. I mean, why are you going to fight and you don't get a motherfucking dime out of it? If you're going to fight, let me get something out of it. You know, don't listen to these stupid-ass white people out here saying that we can go to war and you and I are not getting none out of it. That's bullshit. It don't work like that. When you fight a war, the general public and the government and the corporation get something out of it. We don't get a motherfucking thing out. Like Charles Rangel said, we're going to fight these wars. Hell, gas may be 25 cents a gallon. It may be 25 cents a gallon. What the fuck I'm paying $4 and you fighting over there with all the gas at and I'm paying $4 a gallon? That shit is insanity, man. I'm old, man. I'm 55 motherfucking years old. You think I want to sit up and support some shit and then end up paying $5 or $6 a gallon for gas? And you over there with all the gas at? Come on, man. That shit don't make no sense.
Well, Perry, let me ask you a question.
Chef, slice it up, when? Chef.
No,
wait a minute. Can I ask the question, y'all?
Go ahead, Antoinette.
Thank you. Perry?
Keep talking.
Oh, well, you didn't say anything. Now, they're having that boycott of the Syria anti-war march that's going to be global on Saturday. Are you going to participate?
I got to find me somebody to get with. Because, see, I got to get some white folk to get with, because black folk don't give a damn about nothing. So I got to find me some white folk to get with.
That's undercover. That means he'll be protected in case some shit breaks out.
No, we got cool ass man. Check this out.
I know what that means, Perry.
We had a Occupy Wall Street protest here in Memphis, and the mayor says, long as they ain't destroying property, not terrorizing or hurting anybody, they can stay in the mall as long as they want to. And see, we got what's called a government mall. You got the city, the county, the state, and the federal. All those buildings together. And they was parked right there. And the mayor went out and talked to them, had them send them lunch and everything. He said, y'all can stand out here as long as you want to. As long as you don't start no fights, no property damage, you can do what you want to. He let them motherfuckers stand out there till they wore their damn self out.
Oh, well, that was good.
Yeah. Sure was.
Yeah, so look, Perry, he can give them a reason to really
he ain't do nothing to them. He said, man, y'all can stand out this motherfucker as long as you want to. Fuck it. What y'all want to eat? I like hamburgers.
Here's my thing. We have the benefit of people who served in the military, and they got to see things that we didn't see.
Zombies.
We don't know about. Chef Rob, Atomic Ray, Perry Steele, Ron Reck. So, with the knowledge that you got.
No, I never served in the military, Perry.
Okay, with the knowledge that you guys have of how the military functions, how does that parlay into the whole process of how things are run economically, democratically, and how all that shit works? Because I think the general public doesn't understand that. The general public doesn't get it.
Let me do this first. Let me do it first. Yeah, everybody else, y'all go ahead. You know, coming from going ahead being a combat engineer, then going into supply, I was like, man, if the U.S. people only know how much the U.S. government is fucking over your money, you go ahead and put every damn politician on the street.
Wow.
So you got that shit right there. You got that right. If you look at what they call the recreation, you would not believe the shit they pay for.
Man,
you end up being a player hater because your ass can get out and get a company and get all that money that they get.
Let me show you a little bit more, because I went from going ahead and putting together bombs and all that old silliness to going ahead and being a supply clerk when I got. And I see the head.
Now you
know what I'm talking about.
God, that's you know everything.
So now you go ahead and you see. Well, hey, look. If they go ahead, they get. Let's go ahead. Something real simple: a washer, shoestrings. Now, and you can go ahead. Probably go ahead and buy. You know, less than a dollar, less than 50 cents. They gladly go ahead and put up $50 to $100 for that silliness, man. What happens after that is the person see. A lot of people who work with the military go work with these companies to sell that stuff to the military. Man, they make a killing, man, because they also get bonuses.
Yeah, but how many black folks got them companies where they sell like that?
And that's another thing. It's not a lot of them. There's not a lot. You got a lot of black.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's the fucked up part about it. Now, you gonna rip motherfuckers off? At least pay me too. Damn.
Okay.
You're
looking at the contractors. Now, you look at these contractors, a lot of blacks go and work for these contractors, but if you go have a product or service or something like that, you're going to sell to the government, they go ahead and shut you down. Then they got this other thing where they say, hey, look, well, we're going to give an award to go ahead to try to make it look fair. They try to go ahead
the bidding. The bidding process.
Go ahead and do the bidding process. Then they say, hey, look, throw an award to a minority.
We'll take the lowest bid.
But check this out. They go ahead and say, they go ahead and tell you they're going to give that award to a minority or women. So what you go ahead and you see is some white guy.
The boss bitch.
Yeah, you see this white
the
guy divorced his wife. You see this white guy divorce his wife so she can get that contract and shutting black people out of it and shutting other people out of it.
Uh-huh.
I seen it firsthand on both sides of the fence.
The boss is bitch.
I seen it on both sides of the fence. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Y'all, ooh, if you only knew, you would never let them go to war with all this stuff because it ain't nothing but about money.
If you file an EEOC complaint and they hire a white woman in your place, you got no case.
Yep.
You got no case because she a minority too. You got no case. All they got to do is hire a white woman. Hell, they can hire a black woman in your place. You got no case. Man, they have white men in your place.
Go ahead, Perry. Talk about your experience.
Who, mine?
Yeah. Talk about your experience.
Man, look. I was in this company, and they have five levels of expertise. I walked in junk, man. I hadn't been out of college, man. I had been out of college for some years, but they format or the repertoire of what they want you to study was so easy for me because I've been college trained. I went from a 1 all the way up to a 4, so I'm finna get to a 5, right? That would have been a property manager. On this little-bitty-ass storage job, man. Little-bitty shit, man. Don't mean nothing, man. Anyway, I got in that motherfucker, man. I got my 5, and I was supposed to get a property to myself. See, I got a family. I had a family, so I had picked out this property with a nice-ass motherfucking apartment on it and everything. I was going to move my folks in and hire my stepsons to run this motherfucker while I go out and take care of the bitch. Man, dumb motherfucker went, man, and got a motherfucking black girl, man, and gave her my position. Now, she was a 2, and I'm a 5. So I went to the EEOC and filed a complaint. I said, well, they hired a woman in your place, man, a black woman. I said, wait a minute. My experience is more than hers. I'm a 5. She a 2. Well, it don't mean nothing, you know, because, you know, women are minority. Now, if they had a white woman in my place, it would have fucked them up. But they hired a black woman just to fuck me up. So I ended up suing their ass anyway. You know, when you go on a job, the employee manual is just for black folks and minorities. It's not for white folks.
Oh, man. Let me help you with that one.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Let me help you with that one. Yeah, you damn right. It's just for black folks, and they can go ahead and make the goddamn rules up as they go along.
Yeah.
I've seen it a whole bunch of times because some other buddies of mine, they had developed this. They were government employees. And I had worked with the government also coming out of active duty, and I seen, well, hey, look, they had got this little group, they organized this group to go ahead and help with grievances, okay, for people working for the government.
God.
So, yes. So what they did was they tried to go through the EEO process. Man, oh, man. You should see how many times they would go ahead, management would switch around the personnel to go ahead and make it seem like it was a black-on-black. And then when you go through the whole court thing, they say, well, it can't be discrimination. And they'll let you know it's hard to prove, especially how is it discrimination when it's a black person going ahead and doing it to another black person. But the rules were still there. But when you go through the whole so-called justice system, the whole gamut, they switch them around. They switch them up on your ass and leave you out there with nothing.
And then, see, I was a whistleblower.
That's
right. I was a whistleblower at a federal facility. Man, I made a big mistake.
That's right.
Man. I should have let them black folk keep working with that counselor, man.
And then,
I fucked up and put my name on an OSHA report. That was the worst thing I ever did.
I filed
an OSHA complaint, and I put my name on the motherfucker.
Mm.
That was the worst thing I ever did.
You know what that's like? It's like, you know, growing up as you're a kid, we're gonna play football with the guys on the next block, but it turned into a fight. So, hey, look, before you know it, you're fighting all the guys. You came to play football and ran to the next damn block. Yeah, I've been there. So that's how I felt when working with these cats. Man, I'm like, hold on, I'm putting my name on stuff, go ahead and helping y'all out, and y'all ain't going to stand up. We're going to take these
weak ass. Some motherfucker didn't give a damn about me. Didn't nobody call me when they fired me or nothing, man. And then
right.
I called OSHA back, man, told them about what happened to me. They said, it's your motherfucking fire. I said, look, this is retribution. This is retribution. This is not a fireable offense. I'm doing my job, man. And I had to straighten this shit out, man, you know, with the hired help. And, man, hell, I'm an assistant facility manager. What the fuck you talking about? I got the authority to pick who's going to work for us, man. Man, them motherfuckers abandoned me. If you're a whistleblower, like I said, if you're a whistleblower and you blow the whistle on the ass, just move on.
Hold on. There are different rules. Okay, you got the Eric Snowden types, who's a whistleblower, but he gets sanctuary in Russia. You're a black whistleblower, your ass getting ready to go to jail and go ahead. They're going to go ahead and take all your shit away. And you got either or. Either one of them two choices. Just go to jail, we're going to take all your shit away. That's how they do it.
Yeah. And them dumb motherfuckers you taking up for, man, don't even give a damn about
don't
you.
Don't give a damn. I've seen it happen.
And they'll see you get fired and fucked over and everything. Check this out, man. I was working in this little section, man. One of the girls lost a titty, and the other girl, from breast cancer, and the other girl got cancer. And see, a white boy was in there, and a little chemical spilled on him, and he fucked around, man, broke out in a bad-ass rash and had to go to the hospital. So I told him, I said, well, look, then what are we going to do? We're going to eliminate this shit, man. We're going to have to have... I fucked up, man. It was my fault. I blame nobody but myself. Anyway, I called Kodak. You know, the makers of this chemical that we would use. And the white man gonna tell me, look, you must be some kind of motherfucking hacker or something. I said, what are you talking about? I mean, why would you call me and tell me y'all sitting up there using a dangerous motherfucking chemical with no protective gear? I said, I'm not playing. I tell you what, send your motherfucking people down there, man. You know, he said, I tell you what, We're going to call your company. I can't name the company because if I do, they'll probably fine me and sue me. Because I signed a contract of confidentiality. He said, we're going to call your company. We're going to find out. But I had fucked up and called the EEOC. Man, EEOC came down that main scene when I was up. He said, man, y'all motherfuckers got to be crazy. This shit is radioactive. And them dumb-ass, black-ass bitches, man, you think one of them called me? Man, we could have had a lawsuit at this world.
Let me tell you something, Perry.
Yeah,
let
but they probably paid them off, Perry, to shut them
down.
They're all stupid. They don't even know what to ask for.
Let me show you something. If you call, you go ahead and call EEOC on the company you work, believe it. Check this out. That's not the first time they're aware of the problems over there. The EEO representative, the office, the person who in charge is going to investigate that area, knows your company. So they call them personally and let them know what's going on. They already in the game. So don't think this is something new. They know what's going on. So they go ahead and try to work out a deal to go ahead and shut you down so you don't
They got sanctioned with no fine.
Okay, right, let me tell you how you can go around that.
They got sanctioned with no fine. No fine.
But remember, I used to work for the EEOC as administrator assistant.
Okay.
Whenever you go to file a grievance, first off, you never file it in the state that you live in.
File
it in another state.
Come on.
Seriously, because they are more intimidating to get notices from outside, because then it can get media attention. They don't want media attention.
Man.
And also, you document everything, the date, the time, who was there, what exactly was said, what exactly was done. And you have a record of it. You keep a complete record.
Antoinette, going outside of the jurisdiction,
all that crooked
or something,
shit.
Are you going outside that jurisdiction? What they gonna do is they gonna,
all
what
that
they
crooked
did,
shit.
What they did was they told us to go ahead. They can't do nothing. You got people right there in your city, in your county, in your state that you got to deal with.
No,
they couldn't
do nothing.
I'm telling you, Rob, I'm telling you, the cases that bothered us the most, that we had the most work to do, was the ones that came outside the state. The ones inside the state was no problem. It was the ones outside the state because
They fired my stinking ass.
Well,
yours
was federal.
In $1,000 check from EEOC, them black folks at EEOC, I told them, I fucked up because I let y'all handle the case. I should have had some white folks help me. My niggas ain't shit, man. They ain't nothing but motherfucking slave owners, too. What do you call them motherfuckers that worked in the field?
Overseer.
The straw bosses. Perry.
You know the ones on Roots. You know the ones on Roots that used to whoop Kuta Kante and all them other black motherfuckers.
Oh, the overseers. Uh huh.
Yeah, they the black motherfuckers.
Perry.
They'll whoop your ass for the white man.
Yeah, well, that still goes on.
They know I had a case, man. They let me get fucked up, man. I'm surprised I ain't end up doing fed time behind that shit, man.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this question. Chef Rob,
okay. Make it quick
Antoinette.
I'm getting ready to wrap things up, okay, M2K?
Yes.
Okay,
Perry Steele and Ron Rex. Do you feel that we are misunderstanding what's going on in this global economy, or are we actually in tune to what's going on?
Okay, can I make a suggestion, N2K? That is a great question, and that would take up the rest of the time that we have. Can I ask that, if you could ask that question on Perry's show, because that's in 15 minutes, and let me wrap this one up, because that will really take up all the time for everybody to answer that one. Okay, please, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I know what she's doing.
Perry. But really, do you mind, N2K?
No, not at all.
Okay,
thank you.
I want to thank
everyone. I'm gaining knowledge. Listening to these brothers talk.
Sure, please, would you
I'm getting out.
Yeah, I want to thank everyone for coming. Ron and I truly appreciate each and every one of y'all that stayed on for the overtime, that was here before, or that will be listening to this in the archives. We will be back again tomorrow at 9 o'clock. We have 14 minutes left on the show. I want to give everyone
Why are you acting like you're cutting this short?
Excuse me, sweetheart. We have 14 minutes left. I would like to take this time to give everyone a closing statement, and I would like for you to make your statements on how you feel about where we're going on this Syria war, because this was the topic of the show. So
I'd like to go first. Wait a minute, honey.
If you can keep your comments brief and keep in mind that it's how many people are on the line, Ron?
Hold on.
74.
Nine people on the board.
Okay, so it's nine, you know, it's other people that's ahead of you. Not ahead of you, but it's going to be other people waiting. So please be mindful of your time and try not to go over a minute and a half. Thank you. Okay, N2K, you can go first. So you have 90 seconds here.
I'd just like to say that I appreciated everything. All right. I'm done. Perry cut me off. I'm good.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
And you know what? And before I go, Perry, fuck you.
That's my closing statement.
And he knows what I mean by that.
We wanted to be me and him
are partners.
Wait a minute, honey, we're sucking up airtime. We got to close it out. I'm sorry,
go
dear.
Go ahead, M2K. Go on, give your closing statement, man.
See, I already told you. That nigga loved me, and I love him, too. See,
well,
we can talk to each other like that. Y'all don't get it. We get it, but y'all don't get it.
Okay,
yeah, I can tell Perry fuck you, and he'd be like, okay, nigga, who buying the drink?
Go on, make a closing statement. You got eight other people after you.
All right, my closing statement is this. I love what Perry said. I love what Chef Rob said. They're on point. They're kicking the knowledge. They're kicking the science. And I just want to move over to Perry's show and continue on. That's it.
Thank you very much, N2K. Perry, you want to give your statement now?
Not me.
What do you mean, not you? Okay, Chef Rob.
Get them other people, can. Go ahead. Get them other people.
He's claiming the Fifth Amendment. He's claiming the Fifth Amendment.
Oh, that doesn't work here.
You're made to be silent.
Chef Rob. And cuz, who's snoring? Is your closing statement, you're snoring?
No, cuz ain't snoring, that's for sure.
Okay. You want to give your closing statement, dear?
You always try to say I'm snoring.
Well, it was somebody snoring. Now, that sounded like you. Look, we know your sign. We got your signature snore.
Mm-hmm.
Ron and Perry and I, Perry. We play that
next.
As part of the clips, you know.
Yeah.
I have
no,
snore.
You
want to
give your closing statement, dear? Cuz. You want to give your closing statement?
No, I'm just going to keep that's what I'm looking at now. I have CNN on. And I'm going to keep it tight about the escalating problems in Syria. And I guess the next time we talk, either they probably will strike me by then. And if not, I'll have some words to say about it.
Okay, well, thank you, dear. Thank you very much. All facts. I know you got some facts to give us. Come on.
I think he left. I don't know.
Okay, he's still in the chat room.
Okay, I don't know.
And, Benny, you said you were just listening.
I still smell him. He must be around.
Oh, Harry.
Damn.
Ray? You've been putting some great things in the chat room, so I know you have some things to say. You want to give your closing statement?
Oh, we didn't hear Perry's, right?
We're going to hear Perry's before we hear Ron's.
Okay.
Ray?
Are you going to go to open time?
We did.
Oh, okay.
See,
all right,
you're
going to speed
you were
up.
Asleep. Okay.
I'm back.
Perry.
I'm back.
Who said
Ray's
I'm back?
Ray.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Ray. You want to give your closing statement?
Yeah, what's going on? Crazy Mike there. All facts. He's trying to just come across to us that chemical warfare is this new thing and we're dealing with a new item out there. It's not.
He just learned that today. So,
I think we're we're trying to understand it's not who's doing it or how it's happening, but how long is it going to last, you know? It's been on my mind, and it's crazy when somebody sits there and tries to tell you that this is going to bring a change into something, and more than likely it don't.
Mm-hmm. Never.
Yes, I agree.
That's just basically what I think.
Right on, man. Next.
Yes, and thank you for all the links that you put into the chat room, Ray. I truly appreciate it, and I know Ron does as well as everyone that was here at the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I'm sorry. And Perry Steele, before we go to your hours on the show, you want to give your closing statement out on this show on Syria? Don't save it all for your show. Perry, you are not right.
Holy
at
shit.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you...
Ugh.
The moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as the great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro
Chef Rob.
He finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize the shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check.
Yeah.
When the architects of
you want to give your closing statement, please?
Wrote the magnificent words
who's ever planned to speak, I really appreciate it, but could you please pause it, and we can let Chef Rob and Ron give their closing statements, please.
With every American was to fall
I just say go ahead and find a group. Get with somebody.
Pardon me, I can't hear you.
Black men as well as white men.
Find
a group. To be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Well, thank you for coming, Chef Rob. I truly appreciate it. It was so good to hear you. It's been a while.
Insofar as her citizens.
Thanks. I don't know who's planned that.
I don't know either.
That's all I got to say.
Oh, thank you. You went over.
That's all I got to say.
I think everybody needs to go ahead and find a group to support your ideology and get involved, get more involved. Some of the things that Martin Luther King was saying was go ahead and get out there and do something in the street. I mean,
all I got to say.
It's really ridiculous that we go ahead and keep sitting. A lot of our people keep sitting on their hands and go ahead and letting somebody else do the dirty work. At some point, you got to realize, hey, look, what's happening to that guy next to you, that sister next to you, that family, especially that black family, it's going to happen to you in some way, at some point.
Yes. I'm sorry, honey. We're really short on time now. Ron, you got a little over a minute. Come on and close us out. Ron Ruck. Now, he got to be the slow one. Okay. I want to thank you all for coming. We're going over to Perry Show, so I hope that everyone will join us at the Perry Steele Show. Ron, who disappeared on me, I don't know where he is. Thank you also.
I was
okay, so come on, close out. Go ahead.
All right, anyway, thank everybody. I want to thank everybody answering that, especially my co-host. I love you dearly, close to my heart. I want to thank everybody, Perry Steele, especially you, N2K, Chef Rob, everybody has been here. Cuz, and y'all, love you all to death, man. Glad to hear you guys come and listen to this. Of course, we'll be here again tomorrow night.
Don't forget the seminar next week.
Seminar next week coming up. We got a really good gig coming. You really want to listen to this deal because you're going to find some shit. It's going to blow your mind. So anyway, I want to thank each and every one of you. We're heading over to the Perry Steele Show starting here in less than a minute. And thank you all. Have a good night. And I will see you at the Perry Steele Show. If not, I'll see you here tomorrow night on the Ron Rick Show live on BTR. We're going to close this little song.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you for coming.
of all stars circling beneath the dark clouds.